Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
No, you haven't said.
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher,
and I'm your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes. Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
What up, fuckers? How you doing? Where you been at? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fuck.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the fucking show.
Okay. We're at the show.
It's a big week, guys. It's going to feel like a stall. It's going to feel like a stall because you're going to hear some other footage. But we can finally say, I want to be transparent. You're going to be able to hear that we're splicing in audio from another fucking episode.
Other podcasts might try to pull one over on you, but we'll be real.
Other podcasts might try to make it seem like there wasn't an issue.
COVID came, nice. Fucked things up.
Yeah, it was COVID related. It had nothing to do with the technicality. Or the art that we have made for you. But finally, we can announce. You've been asking nonstop on Instagram.
Shit.
And I couldn't answer you because I didn't know if it was going to work
out.
We didn't
fucking know.
We weren't sure. But February 14th.
Valentine's Day.
AKA Valentine's Day.
Ooh, what's happening, Corinne?
Our special is dropping.
Our debut stand-up comedy
Woo!
Special. Boy, do we have some shit in store for you.
It's going to be so spectacular. Well, it is spectacular. I've already seen it.
We've already seen it. It's fucking great. Spoiler alert.
Mike hasn't seen it, but even if he...
I was there.
Yeah. But he was there. And then also, I mean, we pay him so he has to say nice things.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, we fire him.
Yeah.
I think it's a woman's world,
I think
Michael.
That's illegal,
get on board.
Actually, but it's fine. It's okay. We're all good.
You're supposed to get a few warnings, but certain jobs don't give you those
warnings.
Right. Well, so. When women own the company, you know, we kind of do what we want.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to insert, you know, a whole bunch of shit that we already recorded about our feelings and how excited we are about the podcast.
Like every word of it.
And what things did you have to say about this special, guys?
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you.
We'll go into it right now. It doesn't take away from it. We honestly, it was so good, and we were in our feelings that we were like, even when we had to push some stuff because of COVID, we go, we're gonna need to keep this.
Yeah,
because Christina and I were very in the moment.
That was
we were
a direct funnel
it.
From our hearts to your ears.
You can't recapture magic.
Nope.
You know. So here we are. So
all you need is internet to watch our debut comedy special.
It's called Our Special Day. The Grinch can't steal this. Maybe he can. I don't know. I don't know what he's capable of, honestly. The internet's a bad place.
Uh-huh. Terrible. The Grinch has read it.
But we're so excited for this. This has been obviously the culmination of 11 years of work. Christine and I started stand-up comedy in the end of 2010.
Yeah,
like within months of each other.
Yep.
We're on a pretty pivotal show. At
Broadway Comedy Club?
And
oh, Comics.
At Comics. That was when we weren't together. I went to see you at Broadway Comedy Club when I was still working at Liebman Entertainment.
Right, because I needed people to go and pay money so I could do 5 minutes.
Yes, and then you did your famous pretend to be British joke. Still one of my faves. I think it's a good, I enjoy that
love
joke.
Love the Brits. Love the Brits.
And then, Christina and I both did a show at the now out of business Comics Comedy Club. I'm not saying we're responsible.
We didn't do it.
in the Meatpacking District, which is where do we meet Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, we met Jimmy Fallon and Ryan Reese, and then they roped us into Tex Wars, which was their traveling game show. I use that word game show very lightly.
The screen to colleges, and then we were the DJ.
we got paid $500 to press yes on a PowerPoint.
We would trick colleges out of thousands of dollars.
It was awesome.
It was great.
I've never seen that much money in my life.
Yeah, honestly, private education is a real scam, but we finally benefited from it after we had shelled out so much money to go to college ourselves.
Goddamn right.
So I feel like
they deserve it.
Yeah. I think it's payback.
But I gotta say, we built Guys We Fucked from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we have this beautiful symbiosis with the fuckers. Like this podcast grew in a way that we did not foresee, we did not predict, but it was beyond my wildest dreams. I loved the way the arc that Guys We Fucked has taken.
Came in a little short of my dreams. No.
Well, I would expect nothing less. Your expectations are very high. Shoot for the stars, Korean. Worst case, you land on the goddamn moon. So whatever, who cares? But I gotta say, I'm very proud of us. Mm-hmm. What a badass thing to do. We paid for this special with our money that we earned through doing what we love. And that's a really cool thing. And it's been really cool to be in the editing bunker. You really don't understand fully what goes into a comedy special until you oversee every single goddamn second of the process, especially you, because you are the director of it.
Yeah, we've had so many, like, a lot of times people will be like, why haven't you turned Guys We Fucked into a TV show? Why haven't you done anything on TV?
It's
like,
tried.
We've had so many deals that, like, obviously, like, I think people don't realize how long it takes to get a television show on the air.
You told me getting a TV show on the air is one of the hardest things in the world to do. And I was like, well, it is with that attitude, Corinne. And then we tried. Fast forward 7 years later, and we're like, well, this person like this idea? So it truly is.
I know. I'm kind of known as the Debbie Downer, not surprisingly.
More honest, though.
In our group. But like, I'm not just like, I don't just say it's hard to get a TV show because I like pulled that out of my ass or I don't have faith in us.
Yeah, trying to pop my balloon.
Yeah, most of the reason I think and know that to be true is from working for years in management when I saw people with much bigger names than us absolutely struggling to get people to even take a meeting with them regarding a TV show. And so we've had direct to series deal. We've had all these
direct
kinds of,
to series. It's almost unheard of.
We've had relationships with many networks and pilots made and all these kinds of things. And what happens every time is people fuck up our vision and
what
we
down.
End up with a hot steaming pile of shit, if we're being quite honest.
That they end up rejecting sometimes too. And it's like, wow, the TV industry is so confusing. It's a lot of people trying to give feedback that sometimes they're doing it so that they can feel like they're contributing, and that is the enemy of creativity.
Yeah, and it was to the point, like some of these things, like we didn't even, like, not only did we not sound like ourselves, not only
I look
we
like JonBenet Ramsey.
We literally look like JonBenet Ramsey. If we can ever leak this fucking pilot, Christine and I look like baby prostitutes.
I woke up that morning.
Rest
I remember.
In peace, JonBenet.
Yeah.
But
no
the brother did it.
No disrespect to JonBenet. That wasn't your doing, girlfriend.
Chad's gonna yell at me. I was kidding about the brother.
Well, one of my favorite Kevin Meaney jokes is that
JonBenet
is that he called that he that that when he had his daughter Kate, who we now know, he used to tell people that he named her JonBenet. And then he would go, "It's a family name."
Oh, I love you, Kevin.
No one funnier.
God damn. We've been through the ringer with television opportunities, and so to pay for something and oversee every ounce, and this is one of the things I'm so proud of. We are the ultimate yes. We are the highest up you can get. If we don't approve of it, it doesn't get done.
Yeah, we paid for it. We executive produced it. We were been in the edit the entire time, color grading it.
Yeah,
and the mix. If you don't like the mix, I got to say we weren't there for that. The audio mix. So apologies. That's Gabe's fault. But every other aspect of it. Like creating schedules for the team. Picking the team that worked on it.
Picking the location.
Yeah.
Figuring out, like, calling people, like, getting extras.
Having fights on why we need to spend several thousand extra dollars to shoot it in Salem when we live in the greatest city in the world. And I said,
You know what?
I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. No. We're taking this truck and we're driving up to Salem, Massachusetts.
You've never
sir.
Lived until you've pitched to have an entire crew go to Salem, Massachusetts to shoot in a small movie theater. You've never lived, my friends. It brought
Will
joy.
Will the electricity go out? Will it not? Who knows? It was extremely rewarding. It was one of the most... just everything we have going on right now is just it's a beautifully challenging, like, all right, let's see what we're made of, baby. Time that I'm excited about, and it's the culmination of all of our blood, sweat, and tears into this special, and I'm really excited. And please share it. I don't even care if you like it. Just share it.
Yeah, and honestly, what I love is that if you don't like it, at least you don't like it for exactly who you are. You know, if you're going to hate us for who we are, not who some network wanted us to be. And again, no
Precisely.
Offers. There were no offers
Zero.
For the special.
No one wanted it. No one wanted to distribute it.
So if this seems brave, it's not. It was really a last resort.
Yeah, but you know... How beautiful to invest in yourself and bet on yourself.
That's what
I
we
am
do.
The racehorse. And the only racehorse I'll bet on is me.
Yeah, it's not like anyone, like, it's we Christine and I have been actively trying to become famous for years.
I know,
since all I've ever wanted, honestly. I would interrupt commercials to TV shows to do performances for my parents and my brother.
Same.
And they and we kind of just did the same thing with Guys We Fucked, and like I think that's the only thing that really hit at the level that we wanted it to hit. And the reason 100% is because we were able to authentically be ourselves, talk about what we wanted to talk about. We didn't have to not say certain things so that we could run a fucking ad or so that some suit could be happy.
And no,
really,
bowing down to
sponsors. And it really shows. And also shout out to Luminary, because that was one of the few big companies that I think we've worked with over the years who really didn't try to change anything about who we are. And so I do want to give them props for that. They have nothing to do with the special. But.
No, but like, but they were like, hey, we want to pay you a really great amount of money to keep doing exactly what you're doing and don't, like, just keep going.
And they
like,
and they really have stood by that promise, right, which is nice.
Yeah. The last thing a comedian ever wants to hear is someone telling them what they can and cannot say.
Yeah.
Even you know, even if a joke is half developed and they're figuring it out, like no one wants to hear that. And when you do a comedy special that gets distributed by a network, you're at risk of having notes, and because those networks have sponsors, which it all makes sense, but comedy is not about a business decision. It's about truth.
Yeah, and this is something
that was deep.
I liked it. Well, this is also something we've been fighting for like almost 5 years now. And it's now, I think we were able to convince our team this year. Number one, because I did make a threat and I said we're doing it with or without you. So number one, make a threat.
Shout out.
Shout out to
it
threats.
Worked.
Threatening your team. And then number two, I think, you know, and I would have loved to be more groundbreaking in this, but we also did start to see a lot more of our favorite artists and specifically comedians release their own work because people weren't getting the deals they wanted. I think comedy networks and are kind of picking people like they think should be comedians rather than people who have put in the time.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely that's a weird choice, and but
so,
okay.
And so because comedy, stand-up comedy is such a, God, it's such a pure art. I really think it is. It's so raw and stripped down. To do it special yourself is, I think, the ideal way. If you can be in a position where you can do that, we're the luckiest.
Yeah, it's nice to look at your jokes and be like, that's how I tell them in a club. That's how I've told them the past couple of years. This is, no matter what, this is like the work I put into it is what I see on the screen.
Yeah.
And I think I love that's really good.
Anybody can watch this for free. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice. I love that part.
And that was not, I mean, that wasn't just like, oh, everyone else is doing it, we have to do it. There was a lot of thought that went into it. It's accessible to everyone. And additionally, you know, we do stand by our choice to go behind a paywall for Luminary. We're much happier here. I think anyone who pays for this content
You already know.
Knows the quality and can hear in our voices that we feel like this is once again a safe space for us to talk about our gaping pussies and
so big and wide.
But we also wanted to make sure that this was something that everyone could have and could have for free. I still don't believe art should be free, so don't get used to it.
Yeah.
We put an extraordinary amount of not only money, work into work and love and heart into this. But I think like we love our stand-up so much, and it's such a big part of who we are, and it was a part of our lives before Guys We Fucked, that we really wanted to share that with everyone. So give it a shot, share it with people, email it around, post it on Instagram.
In the background so we can get those numbers up.
Yeah.
I don't care. Because I know it's good. I feel great about the product. I'm really excited for you guys to
see
it.
It's really cool. It's stand-up and there's extra stuff besides stand-up. I think it's like a really beautiful special, and it reflects who we are and the kind of show that you would see if you came to see us live in a comedy club anywhere in the country or the world. And many of you have come to see us live, and thanks for being a part of this. This isn't like a goodbye, I hope.
Oh, no, my God. No,
too many goodbyes.
It was sounding a little bit like a goodbye.
This is just, in fact, this is such just the beginning of a wave. I think Guys We Fucked has experienced these waves. When you're the host of it, you feel them. Where people tell people and tell people, and then all of a sudden you walk down the street and everyone's like, it's the buzz, right? Of this.
And then some waves are more like a lake where you go, is anyone here?
Yeah. And the answer is no, they're not. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then
some waves are like a river where everyone steals your idea and says they originated.
It's all ups and downs, man. It's all kinds of experiences and emotions with it. But I think we're on the precipice of a really beautiful like wave here. I feel it. And
if
I'm excited.
We can always jump off that precipice and
kill ourselves. Yeah. So see ya. It'll be your fault if we do. So play that YouTube special in the background while you're working on the Zoom meeting, okay?
Yeah.
Love you.
It's been fun. So yes, enjoy our special day. It's on the Guys We Fucked YouTube channel right fucking now. Not safe for your youngest cousin, probably.
Blast that subscribe button, guys. So if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, you're going to want to do that. YouTube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's all of our social media. We're on TikTok. And if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you will get the special for free because we love you. And
give from us to you.
Watch the Dumb Bitch Woo Woo Hour. We're at a strip club.
There's
giving everybody
so much content for you to have. I asked people on my community texting app. I said, what is the thing that you want more of from me in 2022? Top
that
two things.
Ass.
They said stand-up clips, sketches. And guess what? We're just giving you both of those things.
Ooh.
We're giving you both of those things.
Call us Santa because we got what you need.
And the third thing I asked was written content. And they said, well, not so much of that. We don't read, Corinne.
I can't read. Come on, Corinne.
Yeah. Maybe if it's a book on tape.
Stop posting screenshots of your tweets. You know I can't read.
Literally my tweets that do the best. They go, if we don't see her, we love it.
But how are you going to get a sense of that ass when you're reading tweets?
Oh, man. All right. Now we're going to the inbag, the inbox, the inbag. I was trying to make it like you guys were writing us real letters like Santa, but it's not happening.
Dear Corinne and Christina.
If you have an issue, you can send us an email at sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. You know, look it over after you send it in so we don't make fun of you on the air. But here we go.
Yeah, we might.
This one's called Pervy PA. And then they put physician's assistant because PA can mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
Hello, queen bad bitches. 26-year-old loyal fucker of 5 years here. And I have a story about how I mostly stood up for myself in the face of a pervy PA. Might be a bit of a rant because I want to punch this wretched little troll in the face.
Punch him.
But I am doing it with my words instead.
Way smarter.
And that's why women are buying.
Yep, exactly. We got to start punching people in the face.
We're in a word battle. We got the oil with words. I went to the Ocean State Urgent Care of Cumberland, Rhode Island. That's a lot of specificity, so we might have to bleep that out, Chad. To be seen for symptoms indicating either bacterial vaginosis, STI, yeast infection, or lost tampon.
Yummy. Either way, I bet you smelled like fresh flowers.
You guys lose them?
Yeah, they can get stuck up there. I've had to have someone come over and pull one out of me.
Well, because sometimes you forget you have one in, and then you put one in, and you're like,
I forgot I had one in, and then I put a dick in. Yeah,
yeah, you get plowed when you forget you have one in.
Just corked it up
and
there.
And then it just sucks it up.
Yep. Not great.
Very bad.
I was pretty sure I had BV, but was paranoid about my symptoms being caused by a deeply lodged tampon, as I have had scares where I put two tampons in at one time before.
Me too.
Yeah, there needs to be like a chart or something.
I know. Ideally,
I would have gone to Planned Parenthood, but I would have needed to wait days for an appointment because of my work schedule. Also, I only went here because it was close to my sister's apartment and I was babysitting my nephew. Hey, come on, get in the car.
Come on, nephew.
Auntie has a tampon lodged.
You ever shove two tampons in your pussy by accident? Well, it doesn't matter. Come with me.
I immediately got bad vibes from this dingy ass place.
Ooh.
But I will skip to the meat of this email.
Please do.
The sexual harassment of it all.
There's the meat.
The PA I was examined by made the following inappropriate comments. Number one, when taking my temperature, you know the most accurate form of taking a temperature, right? But I won't do that to you. It's rectally for any fuckers who don't know.
Well,
I did know that.
Gee, thanks, mister. You were threatening to put it up my butt
what
and then you took
line.
It back like a real gentleman.
Oh, God.
Oh, what a horrible, awful, stupid thing to say.
Yeah, a lot of people who think they should be comedians and they shouldn't.
I smell a piece of shit.
Two, have you been doing any binge drinking lately? That's usually what leads to a lost tampon.
How the fuck you know? I'm assuming this is a guy?
Because
when it's a woman, they're not pervy.
I mean, that's not sexual harassment. That's just kind of like an odd thing to
say. It's just a stupid thing to say.
And then number three, to the female nurse, CNA, medical assistant who triaged me while outside of the exam room I was in and within my earshot and others. What do I even use to get it out? And if I have to deal with this, so do you. Guess what? She didn't stand up for her fellow woman. Shocker. I'm not defending her, but I will say that I think that's more
we've all
like
had bad days at work.
Yeah, I think that's more just like at a certain point, if every day a lot of girls are coming in with a stuck tampon, you just get tired.
Yeah.
You know?
These fingers are made for a lot of things, and fishing tampons out doesn't want to be a regular activity, you know?
I think they just get tired.
Yeah.
And then number four, when I confronted him about the previous comment, I just said that to her because if I am going to do something like this, I need a chaperone. Okay, he's not wrong.
Right. He is correct. Yeah.
I don't know that I would call it a chaperone.
Yeah, that he uses weird words.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, but he's like Danny DeVito.
Yeah, his comments made me extremely uncomfortable, were incredibly unprofessional, that's for sure, violated HIPAA, and constitute sexual harassment. Basically, after all those gross comments, I still let him put a speculum inside me and swab the inside of my pussy. I am disappointed with myself for not leaving as soon as I heard him talking outside of the exam room.
Hey, sometimes something bad happens to you and you stay at the appointment and then you realize it's okay. It all happens.
Yeah, sometimes time is of the essence. You didn't know if you're going to lose your leg to that tampon.
True.
But I am still a bit of a bitch, and I knew I would lose $1,000 of overtime bonuses if I called out of work to go to Planned Parenthood or my PCP the next day. I am a CNA at a hospital, so they are offering crazy overtime right now, but you have to show up to every shift or you lose any bonuses you have already earned that pay period. But I am proud of sticking up for myself as soon as I knew there wasn't a tampon stuck in me. Once he finished his exam, I told him, I heard you talking outside the exam room, and it was incredibly unprofessional. This is the worst healthcare experience I have ever had in my life. I am so happy I don't live anywhere near here, so I never have to come here again. I would much rather be at a Planned Parenthood. You did a terrible job of making me feel comfortable. My response when he said he tries to make his patients comfortable, laughing my fucking ass off. And I very much did not accept his many apologies. I also filed a complaint with the Rhode Island State Licensing Board and left a bad Google review. That's always my favorite when like a doctor's office has bad reviews.
I should have left a Google review on that one guy to touch my titties.
Yeah.
But because that's where I would go to, like, if someone's being a perv, a lot of times you can't get justice legally, so you just leave a bad Google review.
Yeah. You go, this guy touched my knockers.
Yeah.
Thank you both for being amazing examples of self-confidence, growth, and what a strong, badass, independent woman looks like. Hope to see you guys in the Boston area soon. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, sorry that happened, but I'm glad that you didn't have a tampon lodged up there. Yeah. So that's good news.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I've had that before. It just comes out naturally.
I think I have a story like, semi-relevant here.
Have you had a tampon lodged up your vagina?
No, but I have had an STD before.
You have?
Yeah.
Which one?
Chlamydia.
Ooh. Yeah. What did that feel like?
Not very good.
Itchy?
Just
your
gross.
Dick or your balls or your taint or all of it?
No, I've never had gonorrhea, but I can't imagine they feel much different because I think it kind of feels a lot like a UTI, I would think.
It hurts when you pee and it hurts when you pee. Can't really sit down right and you feel like you have a fever?
Yeah, at first when you have it, you feel like you have a little sick and then your dick just hurts and then it just
your whole dick hurts?
Do
the balls hurt?
Your balls don't hurt, but
the whole dick?
Yeah. This is a medical show, guys. Yeah.
Christina
learns about the penis.
Your urethra, the shit that you piss out of, hurts.
And come out of.
That's what this doctor would have called it. The shit that you piss out of.
The shit that you piss out of. Oh, you're just pissing out of that fucking tube.
You know where you should really be pissing, huh? My chest. What?
But it hurts, and then you also, you have a drip. It's disgusting. Like, you wake up in the morning and
can't imagine what it would be like to have something secreting from my cavities.
But it's like green. It's disgusting.
Green?
It's like pus.
Green?
Chlamydia. It's so gross.
I would be like, it's slime, girls.
Did you get gas, girls? Did you fuck Mike Coscarelli?
Is it Ecto Cooler?
It's disgusting. So part of the problem was, it was when I was coming out of my last relationship. There was like a trial period. We were trying to figure out if we would be...
If your dick works with other women?
Yeah, kind of. Sleeping with other women was like the thing that I wanted, you know, in my life. So I went and I slept with somebody and I got chlamydia. And then trying to figure out
Did you use a condom?
I did, and I still got it.
Oof.
Yeah. So what happened was I went to the doctor, and originally the it was an urgent care, and the guy was just like, this is a piece of cake, it's chlamydia, like whatever.
It's easy, it's chlamydia. Everybody, I've seen this one in my own house.
Yeah, this piece of cake. They just give you like a pill, and it's supposed to clear it up. And he's like, pill, cleared up, like a couple days, just don't have sex for like a week or whatever. And I was like, okay, great, no problem. And it went away for a couple days.
Oh no.
And then after the cat, like,
it was like a boomerang. He's a boomerang. Boomerang chlamydia. A
couple weeks later, it starts dripping again.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I had to go back to the urgent care, and I went back to the same, it was the same doctor.
Oh God.
And that's when the guy started being a judgmental like prick and was asking me, like, he kept insisting that I was like, I was sleeping with my ex, and like we were kicking it back and forth to each other. That I was,
but you had not had sex since you'd last seen the doctor.
I hadn't had sex with, no, we had
also,
not had
how
sex.
Do you know so much about your relationship status?
I know,
status?
That's really weird.
I mean, if he knew anything about our relationship status, he would have known that we were not having sex.
Got him!
I was like, zing. he's like, you keep sleeping with her and you guys keep giving it to each other. I was like, no, dude, that's not what happened.
I'm not sleeping with her, doc, okay? Yeah. Trust me, I would know.
Yeah, I was like, that's not the situation. It's right. Just come back. But it, like, in a situation like that, the doctor's not supposed to, like, grill you, on your fucking lifestyle. Like,
yeah,
what's
for
going
sure.
On? He's just supposed to be like, let's figure out how to clean up this disgusting chlamydia. This disgusting
clean up
goo
crew.
Coming out of your cock.
Yeah. You know? Ugh, green.
It's really gross.
Like you had a runny nose, but your dick.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like.
Ew.
A little bit. It's really, it's almost like when like a cut on your finger or your arm or something gets infected. And it's like that coming out. It's so disgusting.
And then the balls, you just didn't feel anything in your balls?
I mean, maybe for just like a day or two, they kind of like hurt a little bit, but that's not the main thing.
So if you weren't passing it back and forth, then why did it come back? Why did it boomerang?
It was just like a really strong strain of chlamydia.
Yeah, and just it's just so much dick.
Yeah.
So
it was circling through the whole penis.
Yeah, it was another room. It was hiding in the other room.
You would think
is it thick like this microphone?
A dick this big and strong could kick chlamydia the first time around, but alas,
it's like people, you ring the bell like a cancer patient.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
boy.
I mean, the guy made me extremely uncomfortable because it's like, it's almost like he wasn't believing me.
He probably saw your dick and then felt emasculated.
Right, and he was like, that hog?
Yeah.
You obviously are a whore.
He was like, I have
welcome to being a woman, but only 1/1000th of it.
Yeah, he was like, I have a clit in comparison to this fucking hog.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen.
How big is it? Is it bigger than this microphone?
It's not wider than, sorry. I mean, sorry.
It's
I just saw a photo.
If it's wider,
so.
That's a problem. I mean, that's
it's not wider than the microphone.
No,
that
no,
would
no,
be
no.
Insane.
This would be unpleasant.
Yeah. Even for me. Mm. I'd just be like, oh, God, this fucking hog is in the
way
again.
Big. I could say that because he's a porn star.
It was as big as the microphone?
Yeah, it's pretty fucking, I mean, I was on the verge. I thought a cyst was going to burst on my ovary when I was having sex with him, but I was like, I just maneuvered it a little bit. His is fucking huge. I mean, you could see it online because he does porn.
This is too thick.
It was
write
big.
That on a post-it. Wait, Ryan Driller's dick.
It's just too thick.
I can't get my mouth around it. I remember having a hard time getting my mouth around it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
in the winter, you find this part tearing, hold on for dear life.
Oh, no.
I'm not trying to Heath Ledger my face giving you a blowjob.
Yeah.
Well, workplace long story hazards. Short. Very uncomfortable at the doctor's office, and the guy was being a real
Did you
asshole.
Say anything to him? Did you stand up for yourself?
I just kept saying, like, no, dude, like, that's not the situation. Like, I'm telling you, I have not spread this to anybody.
Yeah, it sucks when,
like,
people don't believe you when you're there to get help and you know that you're not lying. But, you know, it's the same as in relationships when we're constantly paying for other people's missteps. So it's like so many people feel shame and so many people are lying in the doctor's office that I think they just start assuming that everyone is lying.
Right.
So it's like when you tell the truth, it feels like a lie still. And it sucks.
Yeah.
That's what it's come to. Yeah.
My heart goes out to this girl.
Yeah. Oh.
One love.
Well, hey, loyal fucker, you did the right thing. You reported him. And you had the wherewithal to say something to him, which a lot of times people are kind of in shock, or even if it's like a remark that they just didn't expect, it's shocking. So I'm glad. Thanks for writing us and telling us a story where it's nice to hear that you said something to him.
People keeping it too loosey-goosey in the fucking workplace.
Yeah.
Says us.
Well, we're comedians.
Yeah, no, we have fun for a living.
Listen, I would keep it close. That's why, you know, you only hire someone who you have a lot of dirt on, so that they can't turn on you.
What's the dirt? He's got a huge wang.
That's why I like working here.
Wow,
Jersey Strong.
I think he's the prettiest girls in New York. Oh boy.
Oh man.
Hey, come see us live, motherfuckers. New Jersey, where you at? I'm headlining Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, February 25th and the 26th, with Justin Silver featuring. Portland, Oregon, I'm going to be at Helium March 3rd through the 5th. And Baltimore, Maryland, your girl going to be at Magoobies March 24th through the 26th. And The Voices in Our Head is still a solo podcast that I have that's going on Patreon. Patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. I got a lot of crazy, weird shit. We do group therapy and I show you video. I'm kind of like, it's my Patreon. I'm turning into an OnlyFans, but for my soul. So you're not going to see my pussy, but you will see very intimate emotional videos.
It's more like a woman's channel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought there was more.
No, that's it.
And then for me, as I mentioned last week, who knows on what podcast, but I'm taking a little bit of a break from touring stand-up-wise for a couple months because I want to write a bunch of new material because I burned a lot of it in a special that you will see on February 14th. But starting in April, I'll be in Fort Collins, Colorado at the Comedy Fort. That's April 15th and 16th. You know I love you, Colorado. I'm coming for you. I've never played that venue before, so I'm excited to play that one. And then, of course, you can hear me and Shane Smith on Without a Country. Tuesdays, if you want to watch us live stream on Gas Digital, you can do that. But otherwise, it's every Saturday it drops on all platforms, including full video on YouTube. And like I said, this is the year that your New Year's resolution was like, I want to be a more active citizen, but you don't want to feel that burden of being an active citizen because it is a fucking burden. That's why people don't do it. It's fucking feels like a burden.
What are you talking about, Corinne? It's fun and easy.
Yeah, I highly recommend. I mean, it is my own podcast, but I really do believe in it, and people really love the podcast. So Without a Country, we give you the news and some critical thinking skills, but also some laughs for sure. So check that out.
And if you haven't rated and reviewed Guys We Fucked on the iTunes podcast app, can you do it? Thanks. We want to stay in the top 200 and we want to get to everybody because I think we have a lot to offer. No, I know we have a lot to offer.
Yes. You can also watch the Dumb Bitch Woo Woo Hour, like we said earlier, on our YouTube. And there's many ways to connect with us. So make sure to do those. We love you. Thank you so much.
How you doing?
Not great. Just very, very bad, I would say, in fact.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's okay. Really... I always say my apartment is messy, but like it's, you know, I have a lofted bedroom, so you can like, it's kind of interesting to be able to stand up and look down at the chaos that you have created in your life. And then it snowed in New York this week, so there's dog and human footprints just all over because I have a black floor, guys. Of course I do. So you can really see everything. You can really see remnants of anything. No murder though. There would never be a murder because I would never find all the places that the blood was because of the black floor. So I think it's a safe space for men to come in.
Cute.
Yeah, but no, it's some of the worst days of my life. Hey guys. If I did a soap opera, it would be called the worst days of our lives.
And it would just but it would only be like a minute long. Fucking sucks and I hate you.
The sand in the hourglass wouldn't be pouring down. It would just be empty.
Yeah, no sand. Sand would be hammering on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, no. Honestly, thank God for Gilmore. It reminds me of like the saddest I ever was in high school when all I would do in school was like just think about going home and microwaving a Stouffer's macaroni and cheese and watching Stick Stickly on Nick in the Afternoon.
I love Stick Stickly.
There's always like something like, and I've talked about this like giving you guys advice before, like when things are really bad overall, giving yourself this little thing to look forward to. So right now, like TV has, I'm not a big TV person, but in times of turmoil, I really find TV to be very comforting and very helpful. And also it's like not,
it's like a hug.
It's not really something very bad for you. Unless you do it all weekend, which I do sometimes. But like
now I masturbate
very invested in the world of Gilmore Girls before. Cause I remember back to
fucking
high school when
show.
There was a particularly hard time in high school, when I just like, I needed to leave New Jersey. I needed to come and start my life in the city. But I was like a junior in high school, so it wasn't time yet because I had to graduate. And I remember Gilmore Girls came out and I was so fucking connected to that show and I loved it. It was like this amazing thing every Thursday, which was like the perfect day because you're like, okay, you only have one more day to get there. Like, yeah. You just one more day. And so I decided to rewatch Gilmore Girls and whew. I mean, number one, anytime I tweet about it, just people come out of the fucking woodwork.
Love
because
this show, yeah.
People love this show.
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic show. Yeah. Paris went to my high school.
Oh, I love her. I have a quote of hers on my Twitter bio right now that says, tie your tubes, idiot. Like, I love her. She just really encompasses everything I love about humanity.
Also, Alexis Bledel, very early crush for young Mike Coscarelli.
She's beautiful, tender, thin.
Beautiful eyes.
A lot of clavicle, exactly what I would expect from you.
Yeah. Needs help carrying things.
Whiny.
Yeah.
I love it, though, but it's so interesting because so many like moments remind me of things that we've talked about on this show and just like the behavior. I'm only in, I guess it was season four, so we haven't gone to Logan yet, guys. Stop talking to me about Logan. But it's so weird.
I masturbated that show so much.
Number one, I watched the whole series when I was young and like, I don't remember so much of it. Like, I remember the characters, but, like, I'm just watching, like, episode after episode. I'm like, I don't remember any of these plot points. And it's like,
oh, really?
Is that fucking normal to have?
That's a lot of dialogue. That's dialogue heavy.
It's like remember?
Chick Aaron Sorkin.
Show. That show is on for a long time.
I know, but
a lot
like,
of stuff has happened in your life since you first watched it.
It's so. Just so weird to me that you could have such an intense connection with a piece of art or media and then because I always wonder when people say, oh, I just reread that book or I rewatched that movie. To me, I'm like, what the fuck are you rewatching? Like, but like, no recollection. It's like I'm watching it for the first time. Yeah. The only difference is I know the characters. That's
Isn't
it.
Isn't that a good thing, though?
Not for my memory. It's scary.
No,
I would be more scared if you remembered it all.
But like, I don't remember like anything. I don't remember.
Well, grief fucks with your memory.
But it's like,
it
has to be beyond that. My memory is bad right now, and people have suggested grief brain. I go, that doesn't wipe out one of your favorite TV shows of all time. That's
for Corinne Fisher.
That's crazy.
Because you're a pop culture gal.
Just crazy.
I don't know. I kind of get this with Frasier. Frasier's one of my favorite shows, and I haven't rewatched it in a while. I'm like, every time someone, not that it happens often, but like someone brings up a Frasier thing and I'm like, I forgot. Oh, yeah.
The Cool Kids
right.
Club.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of seeing a girl right now that's very into Frasier.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Christ.
That's your soulmate.
So
Lord Almighty.
And it comes up every
two
now and then.
Two elderly
like,
people in the body of early 30 somethings.
Oh, yeah.
Special
Trust
breed,
me.
You guys.
This one's a contender. For that reason.
You could have been a contender.
You make a good bone, though.
Yeah, so mostly I just want to thank Gilmore Girls. So I want to thank Rory and Lorelai for really getting me through this. But it's like, it's an obsession. Like, literally, I'm sitting here all day, and I'm like fiending. I'm like, I can't wait home to get home and watch Gilmore Girls. Like, that's the only thing that's important to me right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I care about. I go, oh, I just got to get through this day so I can watch another episode of Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
And that's been important. I mean, you know, my crazy ex-girlfriend was before this. And it was so helpful that I was like, I need to continue doing this because otherwise it's going to be a fucking nightmare.
Oh, my God. Television can be a companion, man. It could be a hug and it's not personal. It's not like you just get to like dive into the lives of other characters and you just get to be lost in their world.
Oh,
and
yeah. Andy
beautiful.
Warhol was very obsessed with TV. He's like, who even needs friends anymore? And I was like, this is my guy. This is
Did
my
you
guy.
Know? I saw an exhibit with the Brooklyn Museum, Andy Warhol exhibit, and there was this the chick who shot him was like a crazy feminist chick who was like, cut the dicks off of all men. Like,
yeah.
She had a manifesto. I was like, oh, God damn.
Yeah.
Feminism has gone through some arcs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did know that. I know the whole story. I know, you know, like I like to talk about how like the Petco, over the Petco in Union Square was like one of his old studios. Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was like pictures of his wounds after he got like sewed up, all the surgery he had to have after he got shot.
Oh, yeah. He said it was so painful he wished he died.
Yeah, yeah. And then he did not that long ago. Or not long after.
Yeah, there was like complications and all this thing. But yeah, it did not end well. But Valerie Solanas.
Yeah, yes.
Shout out. As we would say on Without
girl
a Country.
Boss. Girl Boss.
Oh, God. Every time, the original Girl Boss on Without a Country was Casey Anthony. Because you know, one of my goals in life is to play her, even though my manager continually tells me I'm too old for the role. And I said,
with that attitude, yeah.
Seems like you're trying to stop a dream here. Yeah. I thought you were trying to manage one, Christopher.
What are you, my guidance counselor? Come on. That's fun.
Oh, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just staring out the window and
enjoying your new place.
Yeah, I'm working out a lot. I'm trying to be physical. I do not have a television because I got a couch today, though. It's nice to have a place to sit in your home.
What color is it?
Ooh, it's gray.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty, you know, it feels nice.
That's good.
It's a little, and I downloaded Bumble, and I went on it, And then I do this thing, and I'm just curiously observing myself. That's all. I do this thing where I'm like, I'm going to pay to get my thing boosted. And then I don't fucking go on the app, or like I'll match with somebody and then I'll never message them. It's like I do this and then I run away.
Welcome to my life.
But that's also
you don't run away though. You go on dates.
No, that's what Bumble is though.
Yeah, the
Bumble
dating
is matching with girls and never
and I can't tell
them
like,
message you.
Then maybe the apps are not for me. Is that like I'm trying to force a square peg into a round
There's
hole?
There's something about the apps that just feel very gamey because I would love being on them and then I also would never go on any of the dates. I think it's like, I mean, part of it might be like biologically, like women were just not set up to make the first move because like when people were really like, I don't want to say aggressive, but when they were like really seemed to give a shit and message me, even if I wasn't that attracted to them, I would be like, oh, okay, I'll respond to this guy. Like, I would never leave people hanging just out of like pure human decency.
Right.
Yeah, but I guess that like define the first move. Because that's the thing. All right,
you
on
say
Bumble,
hi with the
well,
wave
Bumble,
emoji.
You can't.
Yeah, I just know, say hi. I just say hi move. So that they can start the conversation. Someone,
isn't the actual first move the match?
Yeah, but you're both doing it.
Yeah, so I won't get matched with a guy unless if I like him, he's got to like me back if we can match.
But I'm saying like if that was two people at a bar, like in theory the attraction is sort of established by just the match in and of itself. So why wouldn't a girl just like, all right, you don't want to make the first move? Send a fucking smiley face or something just so the match doesn't expire.
Right, I know, that's the thing. The match expires and I'm like, you guys, I'm not good with deadlines. They make me underfunction because then I get so stressed out.
Well, that's why I never signed up for Bumble. To answer your question.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I'm just not doing this.
There's a restlessness within me and I'm like, what is it? I'm so curious. Like I go on these apps, I'll pay to get the boost and then I never check them. I don't even check them.
Is it you just want like the adoration and knowing that you're attractive, you don't actually want to go and meet these people? I know, but it seems like you want to fuck people that you meet it seems like it's just not under the circumstances that you want it to be under. And like the one thing about you is like Christina does what Christina wants to do. So, you know, see, she's smiling because she knows. And so like if
everyone said that to me that I've ever met.
So you can fucking, well, it's important. You need to know that.
No, it's just
well, it's
so
important for
it's
everyone
so
to know because you go, okay, well, this is just like, it's like if you're writing like a character, like something about a character, you go, this is
I
just
see what
about
I
want to
see and I hear what I want to hear.
Yeah. And so it's like, if it's like, this is not the circumstances you want it to happen under. So you're like, well, I'll control it. And then it won't happen under those circumstances, but I'm still like putting myself out there and also like getting that extra, like it is kind of
like going out in the wild.
Yeah, you can use it as like a little bit of a cheerleader for yourself without, you know, it's not super destructive because it's like, especially when you're going out into dating after like a longer time, like it feels nice to have hot people be like, I think you're hot too.
Yeah,
it's
nice. You know what I wish? Because I get in my head about it and then I think too much and whatever. I guess this is exactly what a matchmaker does. I want somebody else to set me up on the dates and say, okay, I can do Thursdays at 8. I want to meet a guy, you know what I mean? And I just want to show up and then see what happens.
Well, there are matchmakers in New York, so.
Yeah, maybe I'll hire one. I gotta chill on spending all the money. But maybe I will.
I know one, actually a good one I can recommend privately.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't used, but I've heard good things from people I trust.
Yeah, because then there's somebody going, who are you? And then someone going, who are you? Okay, and then, yeah, you know what? I think you guys are a good match. And if you're a matchmaker, I assume that means you have the talent.
Yeah.
So
it's so funny because I never have had any interest because I've just never wanted a relationship bad enough to put any money or time into it. And it shows. It shows
but
in the
you
work.
You have relationships.
Yeah,
money
but it shows
or time.
It shows they're sloppy. Right? What'd you say?
Money or time.
Yeah. And so I was always so curious who someone would pick for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just so curious because I was like, this could be like a really bad mirror.
In which case, that's hilarious.
Just
so honestly,
like,
you can't lose.
A monster. People always like send me like unattractive people.
Oh, no.
No, but I know it's because they have a great personality and they think that I'm self-actualized enough to see past that, and I am not. So I just want to let everyone know.
I got eyes.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
I'm still dating for the big cock and the pecs.
Yeah, I'm still dating for looks and maybe one day I'll be there, but I'm not. I don't
Treat
know.
Yourself.
I have dated for not looks in the past. I mean,
I've
always thought my boyfriends were hot to me. I've never dated someone I thought was not hot, but
yeah, I don't think I
have
either.
Society certainly thought it they were.
No.
So.
And they weren't shy about it.
What are you making sounds over there?
No, nothing at all. I actually had, I wanted to ask you guys about this perhaps on the next intro, but I have a similar dilemma about this. We'll talk about it.
No, he's dating a real Monet.
It's a teaser. Okay. No, but it's a tease.
Okay.
It's a tease.
Ooh, you got to stay tuned, y'all. And I have one thing I want to, I'll talk about in the next intro, too. Okay, yeah. It's just kind of separate, but not. But yeah, so I'm just looking at flowers and, you know, staring at the sky, which is great.
Yeah, new space. It should have a new invigorating feeling.
It does.
You literally seem different.
Yes, I feel like I'm in love.
Yeah,
like
you seem better.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I am. And it's the apartment. I mean, I'm just in love with the apartment and the space that I've created. And it feels like, you know, when you're falling for somebody and you're not used to dating somebody and you know, you're doing your daily, you're going about your work and your business and you go, oh my God, I have this at home. Like, I have this thing. Like, you re-remember that you have this and you get so excited.
And
That's how I feel about my apartment.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, I've never felt that way about a man, but I have felt that way about Breaking Bad and Gilmore
Ooh,
Girls.
Ooh, great show.
And
great
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Great shows. All great shows. And I feel that way about my home. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe my love right now is my home. And myself, obviously, but always. That's always.
Yeah. Ugh, a new home. Mm. I remember. There was a long period of time when I bought my place that I would cry every time I walked in because I was so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens every day. I wake up and I'm like, oh, fuck off with that view. Like, just, it's the best. It's so beautiful.
You've been wanting a view for years. I remember you coming up to my apartment in Harlem just because you heard I had a view and you wanted to look out the window.
It was beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was a good view.
I miss
it. Such a good view. And you could see for miles and miles, and that's sitting in a bed, being able to see for miles, and I see 6 bridges from my bed.
Oh,
I love bridges.
That's a lot of bridges.
Yeah, so I feel like just like a little kid in that way.
That's
just
nice.
Like enjoying my new set of Legos, but it's a hat, but it's a apartment.
Enjoy it, feel your body.
Yeah.
Now, this week's guest.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have her on. This is a woman that I've been seeing for about 6 months now. And you're going to hear about what she does. It's alternative healing. She's the founder of the Art of Alignment Academy, and she is a mind-body alignment specialist. And I'm so excited for you to hear some of her wisdom. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show,
Anne-Marie Duchenne. Snakes on the ground,
Okay, we are here with Anne-Marie Duchenne. Oh, I said it right?
You did.
Cool.
Awesome.
And
that's why I was confused. I was like, but wait, you know each other.
Yeah, I don't call her by her last name.
Okay.
It's informal. I've cried on her massage therapy table many times.
Right.
So before we get into your background, just to give everybody and Corinne and everyone how I know you, I'm into many authors. I'm always discovering, you know, self-help books. And Louise Hay specifically mentioned Heller Work. And on a whim, this is kind of how I operate in my life. All of a sudden, I just paused the audiobook. That was like the fourth time I heard Heller Work. I paused it and I said, Heller Work, New York City. And I found you in Midtown, close to where I lived. And I was like, I don't even know what this is, but I want to do it. And so we started working together. Could you describe what Heller Work is? For everybody who doesn't know.
Yeah. Mostly me.
Yeah. Sure.
Because I describe it as crying on a table. But
I've heard her talk about it, but yeah, I need to understand it better.
Yeah. So Heller Work Structural Integration is a specific type of bodywork manipulation. So it's a technique derived from structural integration. I'll share about that a little bit more in a minute. But HelloWork specifically really addresses body alignment through this specific type of manipulation and also integrates a thematic dialogue during the bodywork. So the intention with HelloWork is to actually connect to the places in the body that might have something to say.
Right.
So trauma.
Stored trauma.
Mm-hmm, stored trauma. And very surprisingly, almost every session, the body has something to say.
Mm-hmm. It's like an exorcism of sorts. And it seems like you get out these old emotions that talk therapy, because I talk all day, all night, talk therapy, talk to friends, talk. And it's exhausting, frankly. I'm sick of my own voice. But HelloWork, I was looking for something to kind of scrape the crevices out, you know, and really clean up, because I was going through a spiritual awakening, which felt terrible the whole time. But I was like, I'm missing something. And I feel like I'll get on a massage table and then Emery will manipulate my body. And I remember one session I just started bawling, but it was so interesting because I wasn't sad. Mm-hmm. It just like came out. I'm like, what the hell is that? So yeah, it's, I love talking, but this gets beyond the talking.
Yes, because it's not massage. So just to be really clear, structural integration actually is derived from Dr. Ida Rolf. Mm-hmm. So some of you and some of your audience members might have heard of Rolfing. And Rolfing is a body manipulation technique that has had in the past a pretty intense reputation as being really intense. Intense and also painful.
Okay.
And so over the years, the way that HellerWork, for example, so HellerWork, just to be clear, is derived from Joseph Heller. Mm-hmm. So Joseph Heller was my teacher. He was also Dr. Ida Rolf's right-hand man at the Rolf Institute for some time. And Dr. Rolf is the one who came up with the bodywork, with the manipulation. Ah. So it is her genius that has been expanded into different schools of structural integration. I happened to study HellerWork because I was really interested in the mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, partly because of my background in spirituality and the way that I was raised, shamanism, I really focus on inviting the spirit beyond the trauma and the pain to arise. And so this is why, as you release your tension, and you know, a lot of the time you have no idea, like I'll be working with people, you know, a lot in the glute area around the hips, right? Specific parts of the body where people are like, oh, whoa, I had no idea that this was so tight, or what's going on there. And all of a sudden people will either cough or cry or spit. Yeah, I've had a lot. So a lot of, so the other thing that I do is I work with the viscera, meaning the organs of the body. So we work into, you know, the liver, the duodenum, like different parts.
Duodenum?
Yeah, the duodenum.
What's that? Sounds like a Harry Potter character.
So the visceral, the body, the viscera, right? What's in our abdomen is encased into a large sac of connective tissue. And every organ in your body has its own sac. So there's all these organs in their own sac put into a larger sac.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like a baby, like the way that a baby's in a sac?
Exactly.
Okay.
But then you have your other organs that have their own kind of real estate inside of your body, you see?
Yeah, yeah.
And so how that works is that each of them have their own rhythm in the body. So your liver has a different rhythm than your heart, than your stomach, than your ascending colon, descending colon, your sigmoid colon. And so it's a magnificent orchestration. This is divine. Like for me, when I did my first dissection, when I went inside the human form.
Oh, like with? Like knives and stuff.
Knives and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Full-on cadaver. Nice.
Full-on cadaver dissection. However, the distinction with the dissections that I've done, and I studied with Gil Headley, and he's incredible. So
Okay. I got to write that. I'll remember that for later.
Right. I mean, this guy, amazing man. And I did several dissections with him. And what happened, though, when I went into my first dissection was the first time that I understood why people believed in God.
Because
when I saw that, I myself was not inclined necessarily to a God-like conversation.
Sure.
Certainly spiritual. But God to me was too much around patriarchy and the look of this older man with white hair. So I kind of put that aside. And then when I went into the human form and understood the magic and the mystery, and I mean, we can only come from divine source, from divine grace, from the mystery.
Mm-hmm. There's so much our body does without us intentionally doing it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, where is that come? Who's doing it? Like, is there batteries? Like, what, you know, like, I would think I said to this to you a while ago, like, when a woman is pregnant and a baby is developing, she doesn't sit there and think of, let me build the lungs now, let me get the kids some eye. That just happens. Like, that's so fascinating. So seeing how the human organs kind of work together and were its own, like, perfect system
exactly.
is what got you into...
Well, actually, no. The reason I got into that... Actually, Hellerwork came to me. I was working as a dance specialist, artistic talent scout for Cirque du Soleil for several years. And then one of my girlfriends, another bruja witch, from my circles from Chile, she offered me a gift certificate to go get a Hellerwork session.
Oh.
Now, even though my background is, I was a performer when I first came to New York, dance and did a lot of martial arts and combat sports. I never really got into body work. Mm-hmm. Like, I was never really interested in having people touch me because my upbringing, I was brought up in ashram-like environment.
Okay.
And I was taught from a very young age to be mindful of people's energy. And so that's something that's
stuck. In a good way or in a bad, like too
well,
like
both, okay. Like to really become astute and sensitive to people's energies. And I thought in my mind, my whole time growing up, I thought, well, I'm alone in a room with a body worker. I don't know them.
Yeah.
And so I kind of had this, you know, pullback. I was cautious around that. But because it was this friend, my friend Ayelen from Chile, and she said, you know, she gives me this gift certificate. I'm like, ay, okay, I'm going to go at some point. So it took me 8 months and 3 cancellations later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I used to work at a spa, and honestly, that's like a more common, I think, than people think, where people just like kind of get freaked out a little bit and decide not to do it. I've had people left mid-massage.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Paid for the whole thing. And just like, I just don't like it. And I was like, that's fine.
Yeah. Were you a massage therapist?
No. I was just a receptionist.
Oh, got it.
But it got me very into like wellness and like introduced me to acupuncture working there.
Oh, awesome.
Because a lot of what you were speaking about, you know, kind of the mind-body connection reminded me a lot of what I really liked about acupuncture.
Nice. Yeah. So... So anyways, finally I go to the appointment mm-hmm. and, this practitioner, her name is, Amy Colesby, and uh-huh. Amy is now living in California, extraordinary practitioner. And I had never, you know, I had gotten like one massage in my life.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, and, how many years is that? You know, I was in my late 20s, mm-hmm. all right? Anyways, I go to the appointment and she was perfect, you see. So this is the other thing with Hellerwork. I believe this
That's how I felt about you when I went in for my appointment.
Yeah, that's nice. That's sweet. Thank you. Yeah, and that's kind of how it happens. So in my experience of life and the way that I live life is that I always feel that energy is before me, right? It precedes me. So the fact that I'm here in this room with you is extraordinary for me because now I get to be in your energy. Of course, Christina and I have been working together for some months and to meet you, Corinne. And so there's no mistake. Mm-hmm. It's not just out of nowhere. I really do believe like the blueprint of our physiology that life is mapped out. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. this relationship to fate and faith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's, yeah, it's really, because once you get deep into this stuff and you explore, it's an endless well to explore. But you're like, I'm also at the precipice of like, oh, I think I do understand God, which I never thought I'd say because I always thought of religion was discriminatory. And I didn't realize how spiritual Jesus is and Muhammad is and all these religions say something very similar, but they're all grounded in these concepts that feel right. And you're like, oh, it just got crowded with scandal and control and fear and bleh. So yeah, it's nice. There was something really interesting about your energy. And, you know, a common example is, you know, you get mad at somebody and you don't talk to them about it and that's going to fester. Right.
Yes.
But I was really blown away with Louise Hay. Is one of the reasons why I made this appointment so quickly was because she described going through child sexual abuse when she was a kid. And that bitterness she had towards the person who raped her as a child festered into cancer that she cured herself with through the help of healers. But she went, she really went a natural route for it. And it was an advanced stage of cancer. And she had to come to terms, like, that's such an intense thing to come to terms with, of letting go of the bitterness towards a person who violated you as a child. Like, that is, if you can forgive that, my God. But she healed herself. And so that's the power of, you know, manipulating your own energy in a way. But you have to be in this place where I think I'm starting to get where you just have to be really honest with yourself.
Yeah, you have to be honest with yourself. And I'd like to share this piece about honesty, is that you can't get honest with yourself until you get to the point of you realize what honesty is at this point in your life. So honesty changes through our lifetimes, right? Like in my 20s, I thought I was honest.
Me too.
You know, in my 30s, I thought I was honest. In my 40s, you know, I thought I was honest. So I think that our choices, and it was something that you had mentioned, Christina, in relationship to, you know, how do we go within, right? Like, there's so many self-help books about how do we go within, because everybody's talking to everyone. I want go within so that you might connect on a deeper level, practice meditation and really get to connect with your soul and your spirit. Well, in my life, even though I was brought up in an environment of spiritual development, I couldn't go within before I acknowledged what was without, meaning outside of me, what was my environment like? Mm-hmm. Who was I hanging around with? What was I practicing? Which addictions was I called towards? Mm-hmm. And so over time, connecting to what was occurring in my outside world is what helped me to go inside, mm-hmm. to become curious about oneself, right? Mm-hmm. And part of that, I feel it's really important to first, before we ask people to go within, is to explore their relationship to shame and blame. Because if we can identify that we're, we carry guilt or we're ashamed of something that occurred in our lives, I would say, in my experience, that's one of the first things that we do and that we did together, even though I didn't talk about it in the session.
Do you see
the approach? So because your body is from divine grace, in my opinion, and because it is,
I agree,
you know, a physiological miracle, mm-hmm. and because all of your orchestration, like the organs all working at their same rhythm, mm-hmm. and I'm going, what the F? You know, that's incredible that we are already, we are the pharmacology. This is the laboratory. Mm-hmm. And when I started to tap into my body through physicality, so movement, dance, martial arts, that all helped me to identify what I was feeling within. So I kind of had to go through a painful experience of either being sore or, you know, hurting myself in class, or, and then life will necessitate your slowing down, mm-hmm. because when you're injured or hurt, you have to stop.
Right.
And not to go on a tangent, but just one short piece about what's happening in the world with COVID now is my interpretation of us being deeply invited to slow the F down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I liked it. I loved it. I said, I very openly said quarantine was my favorite part of my life so far, almost.
I was mean, happy truly. That COVID happened so that Corinne could get this opportunity to, I to mean, rest, because you never do.
Literally great. I was, I mean, I obviously I didn't want people to die so that we all had to have a time off. But I mean, I absolutely agree with you. And like, I was like doing things, like I was having fun. I never have fun. No mm-hmm. time for it. You yeah. know?
And how, you know, our body with relation to sex, mm-hmm. my God, what an exchange of energy. And there's so many, you know, there's archetypes of like the girl in their 20s that doesn't want to ask for her pleasure, doesn't want to put her, you know, there's so many kind of uphill battles that each person experiences individually with sex. But the exchange of energy, one question I really wanted to ask you was, I've heard from healer type people where, you know, you are, that's a really intense exchange in energy. Mm-hmm. So can you ever have casual sex? Like, is it ever?
Oh yeah.
Like, and how,
yeah.
how do you not take up? Cause what if that toxic dick is real good and you don't want to take on the guy's energy, but you want it every once in a while. Like, is that wise or you just go, nah?
Well, I
completely
think
hypothetical.
I'm not asking for anybody except the world.
Yeah. I've never had any of that experience, but, listen, energy it's the same thing as what we were saying before when we're talking about going within. So we're humans. I had a great conversation with my niece yesterday. She's 31. She's the bomb. And she's so amazing. And so she was talking to me. She says, well, you know, Anne-Marie, you know, in French, says, I have needs. You know, I said, well, yes, I understand that, you know. And so we're talking about men and that whole, and energy, exactly. And so I believe that through, or my experience as a woman, I'm a woman who has been in leadership positions, mostly led by men, mm-hmm. Environments that have been led by men. Mm. And I am always fascinated whenever I've been living in New York City for some years now. I'm always fascinated when I walk into a deli or a bodega somewhere and there's a man, not American. I'm specifying that because it's not in the United States, right? So people who are not from the United States, men who are behind the counter and you purchase something at a bodega or deli and they'll say, oh, sweetie, here you go, sweetie.
Right.
And my Kali, my goddess of transformation within just feels like, I understand that's in some cultures, you know, you got my mamita, you know, it's okay that you can actually respond this way. And for me, I just feel that at this point in our lives, at this point in history, her story, mm-hmm. that we may want to educate one another as to how to approach another in a way that is from a foundation and basis of respect.
Right.
I mean, I wish. That would be so cool. These are types of things that are so basic and so important to pay attention to, like how you greet a stranger, whether it's at a business or whatever, that you never learn unless you have parents that were really wise and really nurtured your development and communication. How do you teach an old dog, new tricks?
Well, I want to go back to your question about energy and sex, right? Because, you know, the delicious exchange of having sex, you know, we're talking about heterosex or maybe not, maybe gay sex or transgex, LGBTQI plus.
Yeah. Hopefully. Any of the sexes. Yeah.
Any of the sexes. So energy, right? Well, here's the thing. You are, you know, an adult. Now, what does adult mean? That's another, it's so easy to go into tangents for me because what do we say? What's an adult age in the United States? 21 or 18? 18. Mm-hmm. Really?
Can't drink, but you can
really
serve.
You're an adult at 18?
Yeah.
You are an adult at 18. We barely understand what adulthood is 35, never mind
Correct.
18.
Yeah.
So we are in a developmental phase of understanding
sure.
what our own bodies are doing, both men and women. And so I think the first thing is that we need to connect with ourselves and learn how to respect ourselves, because too often in my work, what I've seen are, and this is across the board, you know, 18 to 75, mm-hmm. okay? Women will come in, men also, both men and women will come in, and they feel that they have a loss in the exchange of sexual, right? Having sex with someone, that there's a loss of energy, that they feel incomplete, that it was really great. At, you know, for others, it's really hot and great. And then there seems to be a loss of energy after. Mm. So I think what's important is to really get in connection with ourselves and to not, you know, restrict our desires. It's more about what type of relationship do you have with that person prior to having sex? Now, sometimes you don't. You just meet them. I mean, you know, all of these apps now,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So of proximity, if you're one block away, oh, we can have sex. So,
yeah.
you know, it's very animalistic, which I think is very
fun.
Normal. I think it's fun. I just have been in the situation at the other end where people come and see me and feel a loss. They feel a loss of energy, even though that immediate exchange of sexual energy was amazing. And so that's why I want to bring in the divine in the sexual conversation, because it's important. Because if we can connect to our divinity and our spiritual, we can still be mad, crazy, hot sex.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it feels like when I have sex anyway.
Great.
Like I'm fucking God. Like, see, honestly, like it's last week, I had sex for the first time in a while, and it just reminded me how much I really, really love it. There's certainly been times where I felt depleted afterwards because I wasn't taking care of myself, but I feel like I've died and been reborn 8 times in the last 3 years. So
it's complicated.
I'm shedding these old layers. Mm-hmm. But sex is just, everything's right in the world.
Well, and that's another interesting story around sex, because sex is great for, you know, sometime, a long time in between times. And then when you get a little bit older, Sex is still good. And then there are times in between that navigation that we don't want sex. It can happen for mm-hmm. both men and women. Mm-hmm. So there's a pause in the sex, which is for a lot of women, it happens around the, you know, the transformation of their menstrual cycles when mm-hmm. that stops, and anywhere between the ages of 40 and 60, I would say. Sometimes, you know, I've had women that have come to see me for work who are 32 and they were entering menopausal.
Wow.
Really?
So I wonder why. Yeah. Do you think it's like diet? Like what?
It's so many things.
Okay.
And right now, in my observation of what's occurring in the world, based on, yes, absolutely food source mm-hmm. in the United States. I mean, I have clients who are European. They go to Europe, they're France or Italy, and they're eating bread and cheese and feeling fine. And they come back to the United States and they start to eat the bread and the cheese and they don't feel fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100%. Like I have a friend from Israel who just like came here and gained a ton of weight and then just went back to eating not processed foods and lost it all. But I got my period when I was very young and my mom just basically asked the pediatrician like, yo, why is this lady bleeding so early?
She's a child.
Why is this girl bleeding? And and he also said it's food sources in America.
Damn.
Yeah. He was like, it's just as that changes, people will develop a different rate.
Yeah. And I think we develop a different immunity to it.
Mm.
So similarly to what's happening now with COVID, apparently we're in a phase where more people are getting sick, but it's less serious.
Yeah.
So I had a COVID end of November, early December, and I was sick.
Oh, wow.
I could not get up. Like I was sick for over almost 3 weeks.
Wow.
I got the, I went to the hospital. I had the
Damn.
Antibody infusion.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oof. I was one of those. And I'm shocked because I'm healthy.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I've never been sick.
You're in touch with your body more than the average bear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Too.
Right. Yeah. Excuse me. So I'm still having a little cough, but, anyways, I think that the environment, without going into the specificities of physiology of having our periods and why and how that happens,
mm-hmm.
But back to having sex and energy around sex, you know, to be mindful. I think the number one thing is to be mindful, like, and also to be in agreement. Like, if you're going to go and you're going to have sex or you have a, you know, one-nighter, then enjoy that.
Yeah.
And this is
Definitely.
What I...
If you're going to do it,
well, because,
do it.
Yeah. And then what happens a lot of the time is that, in my work and what I see is that people go, women and men, I will say more, le penchant is more towards women here,
mm-hmm.
where they will feel not good after because of their relationship with their own self-esteem.
Right. I was going to say they probably, because there's been so much sex that I've had where my self-esteem was sacrificed and I kind of pretended that I didn't care about something that I did and I wasn't communicative. And that feels bad.
It feels bad. And then it takes a lot of time to repair that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why my invitation to young people who come in and, you know, we talk about everything. I mean, the work that I do invites to dig in,
mm-hmm.
to go within, mm-hmm. by the way, and to just kind of have a sense of who you are, you know. And if you make the decision to have sex with someone that you don't know for wanting to have protection, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy it.
Right.
And then when you wake up or if you don't want to stay the night, see, this is the thing also with women, they want to stay the night. Men,
not me.
Not Corinne, no. Me, yes.
I fuck with my shoes on.
Yeah.
She's got a purse around her shoulder.
I am out.
I'm 1 foot out the door. You couldn't pay me to stay. You don't know this person. It's wild.
And this is good. This
yeah,
is good
and
to
I
hear.
Like doing that now because I'm like, I like my own space. My own space is sacred.
Yeah.
And also, man, you really got to sage after a guy comes over because their energy be all. I feel like a lot of straight guys, maybe it's just the pattern that I've experienced. It probably is. They just want to take and take and take from your positivity, from your anything. Like, just give it to me. And it's very draining.
Well, it's actually
I'm like, what can
also,
you offer me? And they're like, I got to go. I'm like, makes sense.
Physiologically as well, right? So, women, you're the receptor. Right, you're at the receiving end.
So this is God's fault.
So it's I'm not going to say God. I'm going to say the way that we're created. Right. So you have the receptivity factor.
Right.
So women tend to have be,
but we're.
I don't even know if that's true anymore. I really want to be mindful here because I've worked with enough men to know
mm-hmm.
that men feel a lot of what women feel.
Yes. They're just socialized to ignore it.
We, exactly.
They feel like we're taking from them. Can I have a list of names?
Yeah,
that seems illegal, but...
Well, yeah, a lot of the men that I work with, well, because there's a bravado, there's an introduction to having to be a certain way. And this is not about now. This is not our culture now. This has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? Since the beginning of time. So now we're trying to resolve problems today that have been, you know, evolving over, you know, hundreds and thousands of years.
These dynamics are deep-rooted.
Exactly. It's like trying to fix the healthcare system now.
Right,
I mean, we are, pardon my French, up Schitt's Creek without a paddle.
Yeah,
because we have to go back to ground one, to a foundation. And to do that now, my friends, now we have to take the money out of Congress and pharma and invest it in a place where you're actually digging deeper to find what's really occurring.
Yeah.
And then we build again. But nobody in Congress and big pharma are going to want to give their...
Don't want to give their millions profit away. Yeah, for sure.
So people like you and I, we're the ones at the forefront. We're the ones who are talking. Thank God for your podcast, both of you. You're
You say whatever the fuck you want.
Awesome.
I
love when people hesitate. It's so sweet, honestly.
So it's really great because we have a platform to express and to ask questions, and you know, people who listen in to also feel that your voice is important. This is what I encounter so much of the time, like women in particular. You know, your voices are important, even if you're confused, even if you don't know how to assess or tap into your self-esteem. The invitation today is to get curious, just as you did, Christina, and, you know, to take risks, because you didn't know who I was, but you looked at me online and you figure, you know, you go check someone out, and if it works, it works. If it don't, you learn something.
Yeah.
So to not be afraid to take chances and to...
And we don't mean like going to like a guy's apartment, shady at bar. Yeah.
No, we're not talking about that. This is the other thing that I always worry about with my younger clients or people who, you know, are on social apps. There's also a lot of, you know, terror. I mean, it's, there's a lot of women who get raped or beat or, you know, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's that component of it. So this is why in my work, I always invite people to have a personal practice of mindful awareness. And for some people, it might be mindfulness. For someone else, it might be meditation. For someone else, it might be, you know, martial arts, Krav Maga. I always invite women, always go learn how to defend yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Go.
Not just like physically.
Yes. Because it empowers you and you walk differently.
Yeah. Lifting weights empowers me. I can't imagine knowing how to kill a guy.
Lifting weights. Exactly. It's the same thing. So when we're talking about energy and you meet, you know, you're in a situation that you're with a man and you don't feel comfortable, you don't feel forced to stay.
Right.
You can just say, you know, your energy, you might not get into a physical fight, but you would say something like, yo, I'm out. Get the fuck off of me and I'm out of here.
Right.
But so many women are afraid to even voice that.
Because if they don't know who they are and they don't know what they want, and they don't know, like, you have to be in love with yourself in order to like have your back, because no one else will. It's a, what a journey.
Well, I think it's also like, you don't know the reaction and you're like, okay, well, I don't know what that person's reaction is going to be, but I know that I can handle this just the way I've handled all these other burdens that came before. I think that's women are always like, well, I'll handle it. Even though it's like adding to the pile of like shit that you're dealing with. You're like, I'll just handle this because I know that I can handle it, even though it's going to take, you know, a piece of me away for a time being, at least, not always.
Yeah, to really allow for people to, or women in this particular case, and also for men, you know, it's hard to say just women, but in most cases, let's say a generalization, is that women have a hard time to express themselves when it's to say no.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the social rules, you look at the social rules of any society, whether that was taught to you or whether that was shown to you as an example, it's still easy to slip into those dynamics without even thinking.
Yeah, so the part about going within again, I think that's important for for people is to really take inventory of what your life looks like on the outside. Like, where mm-hmm. do you live? Who are your friends? Mm-hmm. What are your, you know, what are you thinking most of the time?
Right. What are your thoughts like?
Yeah. What are your thoughts
like? I never know what to say when people write us in and they find themselves in an unsafe situation or with a partner that abuses them emotionally or physically, and they just feel like they're at rock bottom. They don't know what to do. Obviously, you know, there's these logisticals of like a safety plan, you know, don't let him know where you're leaving, but find a place before you leave so that, you know, it all goes smoothly depending on the circumstances. But like, in terms of emotionally, like, what do you have clients that are like in a that come to you at a place where they're being abused? And what does that mean spiritually? Like, what really is happening there? Because it's confusing to the person, and I don't understand it, but I know that it's such a common situation that people find themselves in.
Yeah. So I don't want to speak from a spiritual perspective in terms of what's happening for them, because I really don't know. What I do know is the cultivation of one's self-esteem and confidence is what actually opens the door to make the call to, you know, call the cops or call a friend or get out of the relationship. It's mm-hmm. so hard to move out of those abusive relationships.
This sounds like such a simple question, but why? Like, what, I'm curious in exploring why that is. Just to make this specific type of conversation more normalized, because then mm-hmm. maybe you won't be so stuck in the mud when you find yourself in this position. Cause I don't hear people talking about this enough.
Yeah. So this, in my experience, is it all comes from your caregiving years. Mm. So, and also I would like to invite the possibility that it actually develops in the womb. Mm. So it can also develop in, as you remember, so as you're developing in this sac and everything else is getting organized, and your mother's experience of being pregnant, your mother's emotional state, mm-hmm. her behaviors, her addictive behaviors. So just think about this. Think about a child being created, but you're literally being created out of the tissue of your mother. Right? Mm-hmm. You're literally being created out of the emotions of your mother, and not just your mother, but the environment in which she finds herself. Because we all know now that you can hear when you're in the womb, you can actually hear what's going on outside.
Right.
Right. So you can hear music, you can hear singing, right? Yeah. So there have been tests and
people put like fun. Mozart on their bellies. Yeah. Oh,
exactly. Cute. So the environment in which you grow up, that's one possibility. And then what you see, you know, like when you're tiny, and also our parents, in a lot of the time, they simply don't know better. They do right. not know better. You know, they clearly, do the best yeah. that they can. But you as a little one, you know, if there's no one who's really caring for you, if there's no one that's, and what I mean by care is to take the time to go down to your height level. Let's say you're a 3 or 4 year old, right? Get down to your height level. Be patient. You know, if you're crying, to hug them, not to slap them.
Yeah.
So there's all these commonalities. So I think that depending on how you are brought up and the environment in which you are held or not held, if you have emotionally absent parents, mm-hmm. that is crucial, because you will find yourself being someone who constantly needs to be seen and heard and mm-hmm. put yourself in the forefront, or also
we're chasing after unavailable people.
100%.
Because that's what you're used to.
That's
yeah.
exactly
and it's
right.
such an addictive drug. Mm-hmm. Those old patterns.
Right. So the solution to it, right, is to get curious, right? So there's going to come a point, I'm, in my experience of it, where we all start to search, we all start to ask questions. And I think that comes with age a lot of the time. And you want to find out who you are, why you're constantly getting into those same patterns. So why am I always in relationships with abusive men or women? And the big part of the reason is because that's what you have interpreted as love. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes if you grew up in an angry environment, you understand love as anger. So the way that you love is through being angry at your
partner.
And
the reactions to anger. Yeah. Because Corinne and I are very, we had different households growing up, and we have very, it's very clear in our reactions to things, and like I'll freak out about something or anticipate something and she'll be very like, oh, we're about to drive off a cliff, so you might want to turn around, kind of more calm. And it's like, wow, yeah, like somebody yelling wouldn't jar me on like automatically because I'm used to it. So my threshold is higher. My skin's like a little, not thicker in that I can handle it, but more like numb, I guess, to it.
Yeah. So if any of your listeners are in those types of relationships, you know, what is said over and over again, and to really hear that you really can, you really have the power to get out of it. You really do. Get curious, go online, look for some services around you, call the helpline, mm-hmm. speak to someone, mm-hmm. reach out. If people have podcasts and you're emailing them, yeah. email people, let them know that you're in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to do that. Save yourself. You can, you have the power and you have the strength. Mm-hmm. You really do.
Talking about the abuser in a situation, I think with particularly with my mom and cutting ties with her for the time being, what that allowed me to do and kind of humanizing her and understanding her nurturing and stuff, it wasn't an excuse thing at all. It didn't feel like that at all, but it made me realize that she was a product of her environment. And it also, the thing that was so just cataclysmic was I felt like she was a monster and I was trying to get away. Like I was a little kid in a movie and I was running from the most terrible, like the power she had over me without even doing anything was so immense. Like I felt like there was a boulder on me. And so, but the boulder started to lift when I started to understand human behavior more, like, because I just couldn't wrap my head around why would a mother treat her daughter that. I don't get it, even though we hear about all types of terrible situations, far worse than what I've experienced. But yeah, I think like something that keeps people in a situation that they shouldn't be is they feel like they're weighed down mm-hmm. by something because this person is scary, when the reality is you have all the power, but it feels like they do. So like, is there anything that you, anything else, that you recommend with not giving the other person, the abuser, the person doing the bad behavior, so much weight, so much power? I mean, life is all power dynamics. It's a dance with power. I think Caroline Mace was saying that.
She does.
Life is all a dance of power. And it really is. There's power dynamics in every relationship, and especially sexual, my God, that are fun to work out and play with. But being in a situation where you're being abused emotionally, physically, by a family member, by a loved one, boyfriend, spouse, like that, you just feel so depleted and powerless. What are, like, if anybody's listening in that situation, like what's like a small thing that they can do to at least feel some semblance of power?
Yeah, that's a great question, Christina. And the first thing that, well, there are many first things. One of the things that are important to address is to start to say no more frequently. Mm. And what I mean by that is, you know, well-intended friends and parents want to give you advice, mm-hmm. want to tell you what to do. And it's hard to know. When you're confused and when you're in relationships of power, it's hard to know, you know, what's the right thing to do? Who do I listen to? And this is why in the process of moving forward, in the work that I do, it's very simple. I offer this one tool. If it feels good, stick with it. If it feels bad, get the heck out.
Mm-hmm. What if you don't know a bad? What if you think bad feels good?
Yes.
What happens when the bad feels fucking good?
You can't really lie. You can't really lie to yourself. If you have a doubt.
Oh, I was pretty good at it for a while. But yeah, you're right.
If you have yes, you can lie to yourself for a long time because you think that the abuser or the abusive situation, again, that was your interpretation of love then. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you one thing that I know is true for me. The only way that I've grown in my life is actually through pain. Mm-hmm. So when I've encountered pain, and it's interesting that I'm doing this work now because it's all about unraveling pain. It's all about unraveling trauma and giving it a voice. So I think that for people who are in insular relationships, mm-hmm. or parents or friends or boyfriends or girlfriends, et cetera, and you're feeling something is off or you're not sure, or again, you develop addictive behavior or self-flagellation. If you're thinking is always about minimizing yourself. Mm. If you're calling yourself stupid, If you feel like you're not good enough, or if you, I'm so dumb, or I always say stupid things. Like sometimes I'll hear people say that, right?
I know it's wild.
Some people really talk shit on themselves.
So that's a sign, right?
Yeah.
So that's not good.
Right.
That's bad. Yeah. So when you start to examine your thoughts, you start to really, and you have to slow down for that, right? So that's a little bit of the slowing down process. Like, why do I keep saying I'm stupid?
Right.
Why do I keep saying I don't know anything when you clearly do?
Yeah.
And so that's a sign.
Yeah.
Listen to your thoughts. What is the recurring tape that's going through your mind? And you and people have to be told over and over and over again, and I am committed to this until the day I die, that you are a sacred life form. Mm-hmm. You belong here. You belong here. We are part of the universal source. We are part of nature. Even if, you know, right now you're going through a really rough time and you're all over the place and you're fucked up right now. Life is hard. Your life is hard. Mm-hmm. Take a moment to listen to what you're saying to yourself, your inner talk. Mm-hmm. Remember what I was talking about, going within, look at what surrounds you. Are people pushing you around? Do people keep telling you that you're wrong?
Right. Evaluate your relationships in your life.
And also with yourself.
Yeah.
With your own inner self-talk. Because then you'll start to hear yourself saying that you're stupid or you don't understand anything or I can't do this. Or worse, you develop a relationship with perfectionism, which makes it impossible for you to win that one.
Right. Because, that's something you'll never meet.
And so when you start to hear yourself talk and you're going, you know, wow, I really do say that I'm stupid a lot of the time. That's probably not good, right? I heard this woman talking on this podcast one day and she said, you know, you probably shouldn't do that. Wow, I wonder what happens if I Google, how can I get help for bad self-talk? Mm-hmm. Like literally we have the tools at the tips of our fingers. So
it's curiosity.
Curiosity.
Whose voice is this? Is this my voice? Is it my so-and-so's voice? Or, you know,
exactly.
So important. And even in when you're in the depths of like you don't like yourself, like you just really don't like yourself, like being curious about where that came from because you weren't born that way.
And so one of the tools for that, so once you start to hear yourself talk, right? So I am a somatic therapist. I'm a somatic practitioner. I work in the body, for the body, with the body. I listen to the body all day long. So when we talk and I invite the body to talk, which is verbalized through your vocal cords, right? That happens too. I'm not really listening so much to your verbalization as to the sensation that I feel on your body, depending on wherever we're working.
Yeah.
And so if you're one of those people who is struggling right now and you don't know because you're hearing adverse feedback or people are telling you, you should do this, you should do that, or you're wrong, or listen to that first. Then know that that's bad. Mm-hmm. Your inner self-talk, if you're saying you're stupid or you're less than, that's bad. That's not good. Then you want to connect to your physical body. Feel your body. What do you have? Cramping? Do you have diarrhea? Do you have constipation? Do you have ongoing headaches? Do you have problems? Do you grind your teeth?
Those are signs. Those are clues. Very important clues.
So that's your body speaking to you. That requires for a moment of stillness to just pause for a moment and feel what's going on in your body. Okay, good. Now we've identified that self-talk of your bad is not good, right? Like, I'm not stupid. I know that I'm going to listen to that. Then I'm going to connect to my body and feel where in my body might I be feeling restrained or tight or have literally an issue with my digestion. It shows up a lot in digestion. Okay, now we have that. Now we get a little bit more curious and we decide that we're going to actually do something about it with our bodies, right?
Yeah, it's like an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Right.
Let's figure out the mystery.
The
answer's there.
One of the ways to do that is to get active.
Yeah.
When people get depressed.
Physically active.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I share, you know, when I have clients who come in and they're depressed and they're going, listen, everybody gets depressed, by the way.
Right.
Now, when you are labeled as clinically depressed, now you start to identify as this a sign that's been put upon you.
And
I get this all the time.
That
people
like
will come to me and will say, I've done all the tests. I've gone to this doctor, and they're all telling me there's nothing wrong with me. And I feel like there's something off. And so the first thing I tell you is you are correct.
Right. Because you wouldn't feel that if you weren't.
Exactly.
You know your body better than anybody else ever could.
So people really, we need to hear that we're not crazy. We need to hear that what we're feeling is true.
Mm-hmm. And the psyche is like a wind-up toy. Like if you don't get control of your psyche, which I think is an art form in and of itself, which takes that's like a lifelong thing. But if you're not in the driver's seat of your psyche, that's another part you were born with. It's just going to keep going. And then I think where everybody gets fucked up is they believe the voices in their head. And it's like, no. That's just your psyche repeating a pattern or repeating something your mom said to you that you're not even processing. Like you're not doing it intentionally, but it's just kind of going off and rattling off these thoughts. And you have the option to disagree with it. You are not the thoughts. You are the one observing those thoughts.
Right. Before you can get there though, Christina, there's a little bit of a bridge there.
Okay. Right, right.
Because we are a very intellectually directed society. Mm-hmm. We give a lot of acclamation to intelligence, to our psyches, to talk therapy. So right now,
almost too much. I feel like we put too much emphasis.
Of course.
Yeah.
So now what's happening is somatic therapists like myself are starting to emerge more because we're body people. I want to talk about your body. I want to talk about sex. I want to talk about what you're feeling about sex. And the more that people come in, the more I work with people and who share about their experience. And then of course they are heard.
Yeah.
By me, right? A practitioner or whatever practitioner you're working with. And now you're heard, you have a voice, and not just that, but you are being acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You are being acknowledged as heard. This is a huge piece. And this is why a lot of people...
was important. That was nice for me to get. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Because when you're not heard, you're just yelling into the ether and you feel... It's very easy to feel crazy, I think, when you don't even realize yet that, oh, that's my problem. No one's hearing me. Or like I wasn't heard in these, you know, formative years.
And also, Christina, you know, you are the ideal client, right? You're my
I'm very curious and I love homework.
you're the poster person, right? You're a poster girl, a poster woman, because you did a significant amount of work before finding me. You had to get curious and look for Louise Hay. And now you're looking into other things, different things.
Yeah.
And so this is why it's so important to at least start to listen a little bit to yourself, like trust your instinct to look up, you know, Hinduism. I'm into Hinduism. I'm into probably every religion on the planet. And then I integrate that because I feel that mind, body, spirit, emotion, we are complex beings and we're complicated beings. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why I love to integrate the mindfulness piece is because mindfulness gives us a chance to slow down and to connect with our bodies, even though it's called mindfulness, right? It's to become mindful of the sensation of your bodies, which is why I was so happy when I got back to work with my clients, because I'm touching bodies all day long, right? I'm realigning bodies, right?
Right.
And it feels good. And sometimes, you know, yeah, it's intense because, you know, you got to get in there.
Yeah.
You got to help people release the areas. And so as we open up these layers of connective tissue in the body, and then, for example, there's more breath.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're feeling like, oh, wow, I don't think I had ever, one of my clients, it's amazing. It happened so many times there. And I'm thinking of her specifically because I had no idea when she left that she had this epiphany. And then 7 sessions later, she says to me, you know, Anne-Marie, when I came to see you the first time, I breathed for the first time in like 20 years.
Oh, wow. What a compliment.
And I was like, okay, cool.
People be holding their breath.
And they're holding their breath during sex too.
Oh my God, I know.
And this is important.
People numb out during sex and I'm like, sex? And I was included, especially in my 20s, but I'm like, wow, but that's the most intimate opportunity you're ever going to have with another body. Like be there.
Well, so this is interesting. Thank you for saying that. So in my work, I work with people in a way where... lots of the times the only people that will have access to these parts of your body. And I'm not talking about
vagina.
No, I'm not talking about vagina and anus. I'm talking about the body, like the inside of your thigh.
Yeah.
Like how many people touch the inside of your thigh?
Honestly,
hopefully not a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
But the first session we had, you touched my stomach. And I'm like, no one's ever touched my stomach. And that's when the one I was like, like, I just started fucking bawling. It kind of felt like vomiting.
That's my favorite part. You're right, because we get a lot of massages. And like, anytime people touch my stomach, I'm so happy. Because it's nice. Because people never touch it during a massage. I'm like, please. Like, that's a big part of your body.
Unless they're like grabbing your hips. But I'm like, no one touches your stomach, like, lovingly. Like,
well, that's so important. Because if you're not used to being touched, and we are not, we are not a culture of touch.
Mm-hmm. Because people got out of hand with it.
Yeah, guys ruined it.
Yeah, men ruined it.
And society, but like, men, mostly men.
There's a reason why we can't.
Excuse me. So your belly, think about it. It's so intimate. It's your vulnerability. And so depending on how it's approached, so in the work that I do, it's a very tender, gentle approach. And look at that. When you're approached with tenderness and love and kindness, a lot of the time we lose our shit.
We do.
Why?
We really do. Yeah. I lose my fucking shit when I'm touched nicely.
Right. Whoa. Because we're not used to being approached with tenderness.
Yeah.
We are tough. And I'm not talking New York City tough. I am talking about North American culture tough. Yeah. I'm Canadian. So a little bit of a penchant there with Canadians. Canadians have I think we have a good reputation. Excuse me.
Yeah, you do.
Certainly. In the United States, and now with technology.
You bump into somebody and they look like they just killed your mom. Okay.
Technology is kind of what I was thinking about when you just said that. If you approach people with tenderness, because it's like on the internet, I mean, that's the number one lesson I've learned. If you reply to an evil comment with even tenderness or even curiosity, like we were talking about before, 99% of the time your result is going to be positive.
Because you're not agreeing to their contract of what the energy should be. If you reacting to them and not taking the bait.
And also they're just saying what they're saying because you hurt them in some way, even though it was not direct. Something you said, something you put out into the universe. You hurt that person, triggered something in them. Understandable, not okay to react in the way they did, but whatever. It's fine. Yeah. We handle it. We move on.
Yeah, technology is a crazy thing. And now we have avatars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can actually look different than who I really am.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I think I'm a little bit sexier. You know, all of the filters. The filters.
So we feel our most confident, but it's like a faux confidence.
Yeah. And then 100%. When you're on Zoom and they don't have filters on Zoom, you're like, why don't I look as hot? And you're like, oh yeah, that filter gave me a facelift.
And so now let's go behind the scenes of the avatar world, right? Of the looking better, of the filters, of all of these new apps and so forth. And let's get naked. Mm-hmm. In front of one another. So what I mean by naked, I mean, I am not going to dye my hair, women. I'm not going to get Botox. I'm not going to get any, you know, I'm just going to age naturally, right? And that is becoming an issue now because everybody wants to look younger.
Yeah.
And what is the problem with aging? Oh my God, it's a privilege, right?
And the irony is... Yeah. If you feel good about yourself and you're living a life of balance, whatever that is to you, and you are looking out for number one, which is you, and you are treating yourself with respect and your relationships feel good, you're gonna look younger.
100%.
Like, versus stressing about looking younger and running to the appointments and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's itself is going to age you.
But it's interesting because I just remembered something about a research that was done some time ago about what men love the most in women. And
our hearts.
Our smiles. Mm-hmm. Energy.
Oh, that's why they're always telling us to smile.
Yeah, because men just need another reason to feel good about themselves. It's not it's so funny because I think the obsession with a perfect body and stuff, I think men appreciate looking at that on Instagram and stuff. But when I think about I don't want to say men I've lost out to, but people, it's weird. Aesthetic is something I think women think about like on a deeper level. Men are just like, hot, I like it, you know? And then women think that's the way to get ahead or that's the way to get the partner that I want. And when in reality, no one who's ever moved on from me they don't move on to someone hotter. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I it's been quite eye opening because I think a lot of times women think I just need to be better aesthetically. That's what men want. And like, it's not that. It's also not being a better person. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, what is it?
But it's not either of those things. And so this constant like obsession with aesthetic is women are doing that to each other. It's not, men are not asking for that.
So I'll tell you a funny story with, again, with the work that I do is that people come and in the way that I do it is I invite, you know, people know beforehand that they'll be disrobing.
Yeah.
So people are usually in their underwear. And across the board, men or women, 99% of the time, if it's not said, there is a discomfort.
Right.
Because you're disrobing.
Sure. Yeah.
In relationship to the body.
Right.
And it's interesting because it's in when it's in a therapeutic environment. Like I don't disrobe, right? You disrobe.
Right.
And so their relationship is different when you're in that environment. However, a lot of the comments that I hear from both men and women has something to do with their body. They'll say something about, oh, I'm feeling really fat right now, or I'm bloated today, or
Make a remark like okay, interesting.
Or I feel like I have bad posture, and I'm like, well, this is perfect because that's why you're here.
Yeah,
I'm going to help you with connecting more deeply so that you might create a sense of better posture, an energetic better posture.
Right.
Because better posture for people is bringing their shoulders back. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, no, don't do that. If you're listening, please don't do that. What you want to do is actually soften your heart. Soften your heart.
Well, I can
that's
do that.
The problem. Okay. I have a lot of upper back pain.
So if you soften your heart.
Yeah.
And you actually have a relationship with tenderness, again, we're going back to tenderness, your body will naturally soften.
Yeah.
Not softening as in weakness. This is so interesting in this culture
the
that
vibe,
you have to.
The energy.
But you have to say that because if you say softness, people are like,
an American man doesn't want to hear that.
You don't want to be soft, right? You don't want to be weak. And so it's not about weakness. Actually, opening your heart and inviting a sensation, a relationship to tenderness gives you strength. You know why? Because you're no longer on the defense.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
You're not defensive. You have
so your energy isn't going towards that. You're
exactly.
just going to standing in your own.
So that's feet. How you meet people. That's what happens. It's not the smile. It's not the body. It's not the hotter look. It's your energy.
Yeah.
We have several energetic bodies beyond us, right? This is the physicality, but then there are other energetic bodies beyond us.
Yeah.
And so why are you attracted to who you're attracted to?
Great question. Yeah. Right. Right. Because the energies match up.
What if you feel like your heart is hard, but people keep reaching out to you even though you'd prefer they didn't?
Well, this is where...
I don't think you got a hard heart.
Well, this is where...
I don't, but it's... I think a lot... Yeah, I mean, a hard exterior, but I would like to keep more people away.
Right. Like, people will go to her before me to, like, talk about something.
This is sincere. It's too much.
She's bothered by a lot of people,
it's
and I'm over here going, text me. And they
it's
don't.
Too much.
So,
I can't.
Okay, so then we might want to explore a little bit of your relationship with boundaries.
Yeah, but I really set. People think I'm like lying. I don't know. People question. So I'll say things like very succinctly and clearly, and I feel like because it's almost like too simple, like people think I'm like tricking them.
And I've witnessed it for a decade. I mean, the way people react to Corinne,
I'd be like,
it's
I don't
very
want
peculiar.
To come. And then be like, okay, but we'll see you there. I mean, I'm not going to come. I won't be there. Don't set a plate out for me.
Well, we you know what would be great is I would invite you to come and see me for a session.
Yeah.
So that we might be able to dissect what's going on there. Because something's going on there.
So, yes.
Yeah. So it's energetic or it's the communication style. There's something.
Well, you know when somebody meets, like somebody that has a little bit of an insecurity, which is a lot of people. But they don't like when someone's like, I'm very, hi, hello. But if Corinne's more contained.
Yeah.
They can get very insecure about that, about Corinne being contained.
I'm not a puppy. Am I going to lick you?
Right.
Well, you mean the people get very insecure or intimidated by her?
Yeah.
Or, and they'll be like,
They feel like they say things in front of her that are out of character for them to say because Corinne's stillness
people will be
is
like,
intimidating.
She hates me. And I'm like,
what it is.
I didn't think about you when I left the room.
Yeah, like people will text me like, does Corinne hate me? I'm like, she doesn't give a fuck about you.
I didn't think about you one time.
I don't even to care about you.
Like, but then that's the end of the conversation.
But it happens all the time.
Right.
But I think it's more of a problem because of the business I'm in, you know, when it's so much about personal relationships and networking. And I mean, all the things I hate about it. I just like the part where I get on stage and talk and people have to be quiet. But, you know.
But you mean in your performance?
Yeah.
In your performance
Well,
world.
It's not a part. No, it's not a problem in my performance. That's like the only part where it's not a problem. But that's because, you know, well, actually, I lie. That's sometimes it is because I feel like every now and then when I'm dealing with like a premise for a joke, I'll say something and it's very relatable like to me. And like I've just said things to audiences that I think are very normal and they'll look at me like I just like spoke an alien language to them. And I don't see that happening to a lot of comics, just like a completely unrelatable thing. Well, like we've lived two different, obviously we've lived two different lives, but like we were living in two different dimensions.
Different sets of references.
And I'm just going, well, we're
you
just
might,
not going to.
You might be living in two different dimensions.
Well, you're unique.
You kind of are.
You know, maybe there's nothing to figure out there.
Right.
Like, that's just how you are and that's just what it is.
Yeah, no, honestly, the more I try to figure things out or respond to criticisms of myself, just because, you know, if you get the same criticism over and over again, you go, let me look into that. I don't think I'm like, oh, I'm perfect. I shouldn't look into anything. If I get the same criticism, whether it be from people who listen to the show or from people that I know in my regular, like, you know, my personal life, I go, okay, look into that. And then a lot of times it's just like makes me question something that was like honestly fine to begin with. And I wish I hadn't looked into it.
Yeah, that's good, Corinne. It's really good that you're saying that.
Oh, well, it's so nice to hear my name. Sorry, it was just nice to hear my name with like French accent because it's French. And it no one's
your
and
name
no,
is French.
And I never get, I haven't heard that since like seventh grade. Madame Perry. Okay, anyway.
Well, it's beautiful that you're sharing that because, again, so we're going back again to, in your case, it's a little bit special because you are the one who is being criticized or given a certain type of feedback, right? So when we're in the public eye, if, you know, you get a bad review on Yelp, you know, you're done kind of thing. So the fact that you said that I explored it and I still decided it wasn't true, even though 15 or 20 or 100 people or 1,000 people criticized you on this point.
Right.
And you went back to it and you decided that that wasn't true.
Yeah.
That's the end of the conversation.
That's right.
Do you see what I mean?
Soundbite.
Unless like...
Get out of my house.
Unless like really it's an issue for you. Like,
no, it's not. And it's an issue for other people. And then I go, okay, I don't want to be so hard-headed that I am going like, you know, bringing something negative into the world that's hurting other people. And I don't feel it. It could be a blind spot for me, you know?
Well, the fact that you're willing to explore it, then, you know, at some point also... So I'll give you a personal example where, you know, the end of 2021 and entering into 2022 was kind of like because of COVID, right?
Right.
And so some people were immediately available to assist and support and others who I thought would be were not.
Okay.
And some of these people were very, very close friends to me.
Yeah.
Support in what way?
Send me food.
Bring me out.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
You know, drop off a bottle of water.
Oh, while you were sick. Got it. I see. Yeah.
And so, so my interpretation, this is the other piece, Karine, that is so important.
Oh, I love
what our interpretation of what we're hearing and seeing and feeling is. So my interpretation was like, wow, okay. They're really out of touch with what I'm going through.
Sure.
Because I was super sick and I don't think they got it.
Yeah.
Because right? I said it several times. Like, I can't get out. Like, I can't go to the bathroom. Like, I can't get out of bed. Well, you got to get to urgent care. I can't.
You literally can't move. Yeah.
So part of...
So you go to your house.
In retrospect, I was like, well, I could have asked. I could have said, you know, can you come to my house, pick me up and take me to urgent care? That's in retrospect. But at the time, I didn't say that because I had an expectation.
Sure.
As my super besties that they would offer.
Yeah, of course.
And that's a little bit crazy. When we have expectations,
yeah, I guess
that's when we get disappointed. Is because there is an expectation, right?
That's a heterosexual relationship in a nutshell.
Yeah,
I mean, right there.
That's really good.
You
exactly.
have expectations, you will be disappointed.
So the idea was, my point to what you said before is that I had to get very clear about how I went back into my body, and I just felt like, wow, that was hurtful to me.
Yes,
and I can't handle that right now. I'm healing.
Yeah, right. You're sick.
I can't handle that right now.
Yeah.
And so this is after the fact that it happened, and I'm now much better. And I've decided that I'm going to give those relationships some space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I am not in a position, I don't really want to deal with it right now.
You didn't offer to take me to urgent care when I said I was like, yeah, it's like, what's that conversation even going to look like? Like,
more importantly, though, to your point is I'm checking in with myself, like, and I'm not angry.
Right.
I just realized that I had an expectation a certain way that I wanted things to occur, then they didn't. So taking some space, I think, is always a really great place when you don't feel like what you're being criticized about or whatever feedback you're receiving sounds inaccurate to you once you've explored it.
Right.
And that's called maturity. That's called adulting.
Some people call it withdrawal. I just get nervous because I do tend to withdraw, but it's not like I just need a lot of time to myself. And like what you just explained with COVID, like, was like my dad was very sick and passed away last year. And like, ooh, I felt the same relationship with people, very disappointed in a lot of people. And even like, people talk about a lot with like the grieving process, and like everyone really puts a time on your grieving process. And to a certain extent, I can understand that because no one is going to need the timeline to grieve that I need. And like, if I take a really long time to grieve, which is why I'm always grieving, because they just end up connecting. It's fun.
She's got a lot of death in her life.
Everyone just dies, and then I'm like, oh, it's just chain link it together. And that's why people think I'm clinically depressed. I'm like, no, just every year for the past 4 years, someone very important has died or left. So it's like, not, you know, but yeah, that's, and I do take a step back, and I'm also not like actively angry. I just am like, okay, well, this is, I might justify it too much though, because I kind of like looked at a lot of people and like what they were going through in their lives. And like, well, this is why they didn't have the time, or this is why they felt like what they were going through was more important.
People got their head up their ass.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't like still to have a struggle off, but like I was going through something more important. So, I mean, it's, you know, at a certain point, you got
to
go be like,
also to it, then they're burdening you about, they didn't get the opportunity to have the acting gig that they want. And you're sitting there grieving your father. This is two different levels of reality.
I can only be so patient.
Right.
But anyway, that's a good point. I mean, definitely stepping back and just giving space. I gave out space from a lot of people during quarantine, even before anything happened with my dad, where I just was in my house alone and I go, I feel so much better. I feel so much more energized. We're still doing our work. We're still doing podcasting. We're still doing shows on Zoom. But it's like, oh, who am I not hanging out with? Who am I not having to speak to or give any energy to? And like, you know, I didn't have to make a big production about like, I'm not talking to you anymore. You just pull back a little bit. It doesn't have to be performative.
I'm really sorry about your dad.
Oh, thank you. I thought you scared me. I was like, are you having a heart attack now? I was like, please, no more heart attacks. Thank you.
I'm feeling for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's good. It's it's important to feel.
Yeah.
I know when my dad passed, I basically stopped working for 3 months.
Yeah.
And I sat in my living room and I pretty much cried and allowed myself to be angry and resentful and confused. And I just stopped. But you know, Corinne, you know, I was working with a woman at that time. I was working on emotional freedom technique. It's a tapping. Have you ever heard of the tapping?
I do that with my therapist. Yeah.
Great. So I worked with her.
Because I have OCD too, and that's been very helpful with OCD.
Oh, so good, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was working with a therapist for emotional freedom technique, EFT, and she said to me, and this is what I mean, why it's important to be curious and to open and to try new modalities, you know, give things a chance.
Sure.
She said to me, Anne-Marie, she says, you have two choices. Basically, you can take door number one, mm-hmm. which is to choose to have this very private, special, sacred opportunity to grieve your father, or you can choose door number three and keep working.
Right.
And I said, I'm just going to sit and cry and grieve and not do anything. And by the grace of, you know, nature, for me, God, spirit is nature. And, you know, it's so interesting. And this is so important. This is so important. When we choose, when we make decisions that are good for us, when we're confused, that's my number one thing. I was sharing that with someone yesterday. In confusion, if you don't know what to do, squat.
Like physically get down and squat?
Yes.
Oh, I love squatting.
Just squat.
Okay.
Oh, what does that do?
Just sit there. Well, first of all, you know, if you're comfortable squatting, that's great. If you're not comfortable squatting, you're going to have to figure out how to squat. So that in itself is good because it gives you a moment to get outside mm-hmm. of the noise and mm-hmm. inside, and you're getting in the position of squatting.
Okay.
So you just want to squat, and you squat as long as you can. Just sit there. Just sit there and let the magic of the moment, let your body be in this position. So you might feel like you're getting a stretch. You might feel like you're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It might not, it's a really good technique to just squat.
Just squat.
Sit there. And, you know, I squat and I put my hands, you know, in front of me like this, and I just kind of, it's just a moment to go inside and to stop being so affected by what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
So I just squatted for 3 months. I mean, not the whole time. You know, I'm sitting, I'm on the floor, I'm rolling, I'm crying. And the magic of that is by making that decision, that opened up other possibilities for me in my life that I would have never been able to explore if I had not stopped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if it takes you a long time to grieve, honey, you go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't letting anyone rush me. But I just, I feel like sometimes I really like, I just go, oh, okay, you don't agree with like what I'm doing. I'm just literally not going to speak to you.
Yeah, because who fuck, yeah.
And you know, you might really love experimenting with, you know, with body work. Like the specific, you know, whether, I'm not selling my product here, but I'm just saying
it's a
good.
No, I'm very into it. Like, I mean, I, you know, kind of like acupuncture and all these kind of things were very helpful over the course of my life.
Yeah, because there's something, it's interesting to find this out about you now, because there is something about you, there's something in your life, whether it's a karmic thread, mm-hmm. whether it is the way your life is going to unroll, there's something about your experience with death or people close to you dying and you being in this space, in this position, this lifetime. I tend to believe in reincarnation.
Yeah,
and there's something that's occurring with you in this lifetime that is offering you what I call an opportunity to feel very, very deeply. And, you know, Corinne, when we feel very, very deeply, there is an energetic space of you know, care, protection, you know, so the fact that you are how you are is absolutely perfect. That, and probably why people are rushing to come to you.
I've been trying to tell people this and everyone's really not buying it, you know,
but you know what I mean?
Everyone just goes, this seems like narcissism. Like, oh, we looked into that already. That was one of the many things that you guys have tried to fucking accuse me of, diagnose me with.
But perhaps a stoicness mm-hmm. in some way.
Yeah.
And to embrace that, because the deeper you embrace your, how you are outside of podcasts and Zooming and, you know, performance, you know, this is the essence. And also a lot of what we had talked about is probably the reason why you are so successful doing the performance the way that you do it, because mm-hmm. it's very important for you to go back into your cocoon and to just process and sit and not go to a lot of events, and people might continue to come after you. And the more you take your space and you're very clear in the way that it is, then, but that might be like that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I kind of thought so.
Shit. It's so interesting, though, to see what patterns emerge in someone's life. Like, Corinne has had so many people die, and I've not, the losses that I've experienced were grandparents, but it was like to the point they were so ill that it was just like, oh my God, please die so you're not suffering. Like, it was very much a relief. But like, I can't tell you how many people I've caught walking in New York City mid seizure. I've called 911 on so many strangers. Like, it is. And then I ask other people and they're like, I've lived here for like 2 decades. I've never called 911 on anybody. I'm like, wow. So there is just something about like these, it's very helpful to just at least notice, I guess, patterns that emerge in your life. And I assume just be curious from there.
And this is why, you know, I find the work that I do so rewarding, is because people come in and there is a space for you to drop. Like, that's my invitation to you at every session. Just drop in.
Yeah.
Just let me, you know, feel my hands on your ankles and allow for gravity to support you. And I invite you into a space of just being held, of safety, and just breathe and just feel the room you're in. You know, if it's your first session. If it's your first session with me, I'll invite you to just stand and take a temperature of the room. Notice me. What does it feel like being here with me? Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to feel what you feel. Is it comfortable or, you know, and if you're not comfortable, please let me know because you are always in charge of the session.
Right.
Mm. Not me.
Yeah. I get so many massages and I've never felt the way I feel after I leave a session with you specifically. Like I feel like I just met the love of my life, or I feel like I just won the lot. Like I just feel like on top of the world, like there's cartoon birds floating around, and it's such a huge release of just negative energy that you've been carrying around, whether it's self-imposed or whatever.
That's what lays in our bodies, right? So this, we walk around all day long without being aware of what's really in our bodies. Like, what are we really feeling? And so we get into relationships not knowing really how we feel. Mm-hmm. We get into relationships because it's the norm, because I'm supposed to, because I'm 30, because I should have a child, and this is really, we're getting into trouble.
Yeah, because the second you think a relationship's going to be a Band-Aid, whew! That is going to be a rocky road.
Yeah. So this is why I feel it's so important to be able to look like one of the things you had talked to me about was this pause, right? The menopause.
Oh, yes.
Into this pausing. That's another invitation to pause, because in this society, we look at it as, you know, when you look it up on Google, it'll say, well, you know, you're stop your period. You're going to get vaginal dryness. You know, they kind of make it all
horny.
They make it all a something that is, you're losing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're losing. You're older now. Nobody's going to desire you anymore.
Yeah. Which is quite the opposite with women. We get better with age, and it's so criminal that society has tricked everybody to believe the opposite is true.
It is a transformation, right? So this is why I brought you Kali, because I wanted to share with you the goddess of transformation. So that's what really moving into getting older is a deep privilege of being, moving into your wiser self, your higher self.
Yeah.
You know, elevating consciousness and being in a space where, in my opinion, I have a responsibility to the younger generation. Mm-hmm. I have a responsibility to speak in a way where you feel heard, you feel loved, you feel empowered, because you're my sister and my brethren, same thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yes, there's a spiritual intonation, because it is, we are also spirits.
Right.
And our job, I believe, as humans is to rise each other up, to really let people know that they're in the right place. It's the right time that you are, you know, and of course, I mean, this is overall for the general population that is healthy, right? We understand where I'm coming from, the context. And to remind people that their bodies is their greatest tool. Their bodies is what you really want to connect with on a much, much deeper level.
Yeah.
And whether you start with an activity such as, you know, dance, martial arts, swimming, that's a good entry. And then get curious about, how does your body work? Why are we not teaching deep anatomy physiology in grade school?
Beats me.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The more we're connected to how we feel and sensations, the better choices we make.
Right.
Because it is a connection. It's a mind-body connection. So if I feel good in my body and I walk in with confidence and somebody criticizes me, I can just assess it and go, okay.
See ya.
Right. Instead of...
Right.
Being hurt, retaliation, you know, reacting in a way.
Giving your power away.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we get so caught up in the aesthetics of a body, which is, you know, with advertising, with movies and all pop culture and all that stuff. And it's like people, you know, I'm overweight, I'm underweight, or whatever's fucked up about my body. I'm like, your body's so amazing that all that should matter is how you feel in it, whatever the fuck size it is. If you feel good in it, that's what you take solace in. It's just society, man.
It's deep. No matter who I've worked with, and I work with professional athletes and performers and, you know, of the highest caliber, doing these extraordinary shows, and everybody, let me say something, everybody has the same issues.
Yeah.
Have the same issues. So for me, if you can have a heart of compassion and just kind of see the other, see beyond, take a moment and look into people's eyes, you know?
Like very un-American.
Right. Or look into it, you know, feel each other's hearts. Immediately, there's a beautiful tenderness that is allowed, that is integrated. Mm-hmm. And we're less on le qui vive, you know? It's like, are they looking at me? What did I say? What did I do? Am I writing the same thing? Is my makeup okay? Am I looking?
Which is how, yeah, which why I'm like, oh, I think of so many people going into sex with that, like, and it's like, oh, if you're concentrating on what you look like or how, oh my God, no, stop. It should be, yeah. It's like a.
And you know what? Before you all have sex, foreplay for 3 days.
Oh, 3 days. That's.
Foreplay for 3 days.
That's fun. Wow. That sounds fun.
Touch each other's bellies, yeah. Right? Yeah. Touch each other's inner thighs.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah, go slow.
This is
yeah.
what I would, this would be my parting words. Foreplay for 3 days or more before you actually have sex.
I like that. It's fun. A law. It's a law now.
Where can we find you? Online? What would you like to plug? Yeah.
So artofalignmentacademy.com. We talked mostly today about my bodywork practice. Excuse me. I also have, I'm a coach, I've been coaching for 30 years, and I just call it basically the Duchenne method coaching. It's a culmination of my life as being brought up in a spiritual environment in an ashram and then moving through dance and martial arts and working with Cirque du Soleil for many, many years. I have a medical anthropology background. That's really my gaga. That's mm-hmm. what I love is the evolution of the human psyche and spirit. So artofalignmentacademy.com. You can find me on Facebook under my name, same thing, Art of Alignment Academy, or A.M. Duchenne, D-U-C-H-E-N-E. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Amazing. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been lovely.
Yes.
So awesome.
Oh, and I wanted to hold, which camera am I holding this up to? This one? There you go. Just so you guys can get a visual of what we were talking about before.
Kali, the goddess of transformation.
I love it. All right. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in air.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?